Good evening, councillors, staff, ladies and gentlemen. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Almighty God, we ask that you guide us in all of our discussions, to show goodness, honesty, understanding and wisdom in all that we undertake for the benefit of the City of Joondalup and our residents. May we respect each other's views at all times, and we ask all of this in your name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Nala, Kadich, Wajak Morit, Kain Kardak, Nijabudja, we acknowledge Noongar people as the original custodians of this land, and I declare this council meeting open at 6:30 p.m. At the outset, I'll just advise those who've joined us in the gallery, if you noticed on the way in, that we had some security measures. We had some incidents in the car park completely unrelated to the council event, and that was just for your safety on the way through, and those matters have been otherwise referred to the police. My apologies for any disruption, and thank you to our security team. First item of business is declarations of interest. I have a number that I've received already, and councillors, if any of you have a declaration, I encourage you now is the time to address that. First of all, from Councillor Nige Jones, for item 11.1, a petition for Merrifield Place. It's an interest that may affect impartiality, as Councillor Jones knows, a resident of Merrifield Place in Mullaloo. A declaration of myself for item 12.9, list of payments made during the month of April 2024. Also an interest that may affect impartiality, as I do some part-time work for Thompson Gear, but I do not work on City of Joondalup matters. A declaration from Councillor Hamilton Prime for item, also for the petitions. It's an interest that may affect impartiality, as Councillor Hamilton Prime went to the site and met with petitioners, and a declaration from Councillor Hamilton Prime for item 12.3, outcomes of community consultation, draft expanding horizons, economic development strategy. This is an interest that may affect impartiality, as Councillor Hamilton Prime is employed as a director in an aerospace company in the space sector. Are there any other declarations of interest, councillors? Councillor Pizzi?
I'm not sure if I have to declare the gift that I recently put on a chain for the life back.
I think it would be wise just to note it as an impartiality interest. I mean, it's a matter for you, but I think, yes. Yep. Councillor Pizzi? You want to just verbally state it and then write?
Yes, I just declare that I was given a sample of a life back, and that once I've shown council that life back, I'll be giving it back to somebody else to gift.
Thank you, and that's for the notice of motion this evening. Councillor Ventura?
Thank you. Through you. The same situation with petition 11. I too have met with petitioners on location.
Thank you. Are there any other declarations? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Just one for the petition 11.1. A number of the petitions are known to me.
Thank you. Any others?
Yep.
Councillor Pizzi?
Oh, just the same as the other councillor, that a few of the petitioners are known to me at Merrifield Lane as well.
Thank you. Any further? If not, deputations you'll see on the agenda, but that was dealt at the briefing session. The next item of business is public question time. You'll see in the agendas, and for those in the gallery, I'm assuming the answers are outside. We received 26 questions on notice, the answers of which are provided there. This is now public question time, and there's a set of procedures which relates, and I ask that you follow my direction at all times. You'll have an opportunity to ask two questions. Your questions should be directed to the chair and asked in a polite, respectful manner, and I'd ask that you please state your name and address for the public record before asking your question. As is our practice, we maintain a register for public question time, and I'll begin there. First of all, with Mr. Roger Daniel.
(Clears throat) Good evening. I'm Roger Daniel, 11 Maryfield Place. I refer to the extra parking being put onto Maryfield Place in relation to the intersection between North Shore and Maryfield. I've noticed that a traffic island has been suggested for the traffic to get in and out of Maryfield. I would like to know if the council has addressed, with all the extra traffic, have they addressed the foot traffic on the path?
Thank you. Mr. Daniel, Director Klassen.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, perhaps I'll start with the question on the intersection itself. Council considered a report, I think it was around June last year, regarding improvements on Ocean Drive. That was considered and supported by Council to look at a staged approach subject to government funding. In terms of the specific intersection with Maryfield as part of the Hillary's cycleway extension project, the city is currently considering the installation of splitter islands to improve that. Also, as part of that, the dual-use path, the coastal dual-use path, the upgrading of that path will increase that path from 3 metres to 4 metres wide along the whole length. That will further support the number of cyclists and pedestrians on that path. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. For our next question, I invite forward Mrs. Cherie Daniel.
Hi, I'm Cherie Daniel from number 11 Maryfield Place. My question is, why is the driving force about the number of bays and not community safety?
Thank you. Director Klassen.
Fair Mr. Mayor, the driving force, the objective of the project is to increase parking, not at the expense of safety. And that's why the city, when looking at the design, ensures compliance with the Australian standards. So there's no compromise on safety.
Do you have a second question?
Well, I dispute that. Just because with the parallel parking, you're going forward. With all the angled parking, you have to reverse onto the 50-kilometre road, and it's a blind corner. You can't see. You've got all this traffic funnelling in.
I'll just bring you to a question if I can. Do you have a second question?
Well, I just think it's just not safe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Craig Dole.
Hi. Craig Dole from 23 Maryfield Place. Firstly, just a quick comment. Thank you for everyone that's received SMSs from me. My question is, if I could have a show of hands for those councillors or people in the circle here that have actually had the opportunity to visit the street while the residents of the street have tried to display what the safety issues are in such a small street.
No, Mr. Dole, we don't do that. Do you have a question
for
the city?
Why can't I do that?
Well, councillors will discuss this item when it comes back on petitions, but it's not an opportunity to question individual councillors. It's an opportunity
I'm just asking so I can understand. It's trying to understand if...
Excuse me, sir, you just interrupted me.
Sorry.
I said it's not an opportunity to question individual councillors. I suspect you probably know the answer to your question, but you are welcome to follow up with individual councillors at any time. This is an opportunity to ask questions of the city through the chair. Do you have a question for the city through the chair?
Yeah. So under both the 90-degree and 60-degree options that we've seen, if you're reversing out of there, why is the minimum Australian standard being considered when you've got an area where children... with the Surf Life Saving Club, where you've got people walking dogs, where you've got people cycling, and what we're starting to see now is e-scooters.
Thank you.
Have they been considered?
Director Klassen.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, as indicated previously tonight, the compliance is with Australian standards. Those standards have been developed taking into consideration all the aspects that you have raised to actually set minimum standards to comply with. And that's what we comply with at this stage.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Bruce Harvey.
Bruce Harvey, 21A Merrifield Place. The only question I want to know is why the residents were not consulted on these changes until the very last minute and after the contract was awarded. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Klassen.
Three, Mr. Mayor, as I've indicated in the response to the written questions from yourself, Mr. Harvey, the city is guided by the Notification of Public Works Council policy. And in terms of that policy, where we undertake public works, notification is provided to residents ahead of the work starting. I do acknowledge that the via Australia Post was sent on the 31st of May, and we understand that was mostly received on the following Friday by residents.
Thank you. For our next question, Ms. Michelle Kwok.
Michelle Kwok, 15 Cropable Ocean Reef. Good evening, everyone. My question relates to item 12.7, Draft Climate Change Plan. I've got two questions regarding the power purchase agreement. Question number one, last November, some councillors have requested to see the contract agreement on power purchase agreement. Has the council been shown the contract and the MOU? If not, why not?
Director Parry or Ms. Macario? Director Klassen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As it indicated in a confidential briefing to elected members, the city contacted WELGO, who has confirmed that the contract is commercial in confidence, and such a city is not able to share the contract as was requested by the councillors.
Do you have a second question, Ms. Kwok?
I was going to ask what's in the contract. Obviously, it's confidential.
Do you have a second question, Ms. Kwok?
What's in the contract?
I think Director Klassen answered that in the first question.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Kwok.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Mr. Sideris, please come forward, state your name and address for the public record.
Yeah, thank you. Mitch Sideris, 12 Page Drive, Molu. I submitted a number of questions for tonight's meeting. First one related to the CHARMAT targets milestones. And the response says elected members were advised. Can you please let me know when the date specifically and what the occasion was that those members, elected members, were advised?
Ms. Macario?
Three, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for the question. The elected members were presented with an overview of the CHARMAT process earlier this month at an information workshop with elected members.
Sorry, I missed that last bit.
Earlier this month.
At what? Sorry.
At an elected member workshop, Mr. Sideris. Do you have a second question?
Yeah, second question. It's probably the end of the question. When will the CHARMAT target milestones be presented to council? So us mere mortal publics can also be advised.
Director Parry?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you again for the question. Within the corporate business plan for 24-25, which is presented this evening, there is a milestone of presenting that CHARMAT milestones to elected members. Elected members have also requested a further workshop of elected members to discuss the issue. So hopefully we will be bringing it back to the council in quarter one of 24-25.
Thank you.
But in short, following another workshop from councillors. Please, sir.
Good evening, Mayor of Jacob and all the rest of you lovely councillors. Roscoe McGlashan is my name. I'm a long-time resident of Mullaloo. And I live in Carolundi Way, Mullaloo. I was asked to come down and have a look at the land I love, a place called Merrifield Place in Mullaloo, and what was planned for the area. I just should say that I've had a long-time program with a thing called Roads Aren't Racetracks. So I've got my own safety foundation in the wind, and I've tried very, very long. I'm a big fan of road safety and preventing dramas. I'd just like to know, my question is, who planned on doing that with Merrifield Place? What were they smoking?
Well, I can't allow that second part, Mr. McGlashan, but in terms of planning for the work, this has been in gestation for a long period of time. In fact, there's been general requests to do up the other side of the street. I don't think that there's any broad disagreement about that, even from local residents. Then the discussion has now turned to one of whether, to what extent the city delivers parking on the street, balancing different considerations.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Just as I say, this place is an accident waiting to happen. An ambulance had to get in or anything like that, you couldn't do it. There's two cars can't pass on the road, trucks can't get in. It's a nightmare. So,
do you have a second question, Mr. McGlashan?
As I say, I'd love to know who's behind all this, because it's absolute crap.
Well, okay, I'll ask Mr. McGlashan. That's not appropriate. And I said they have to be, questions asked have to be polite and respectful. And also, as I said, this has had a long gestation. This hasn't just arrived out of the ether. Either way, the council is looking at doing works on the other side of the street. It's a question of how much parking is installed, balancing the various considerations of local residents and the broader community. Thank you, Mr. McGlashan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McGlashan. Any further questions? If not, yourself, sir, in the front row.
Good evening, Mayor and councillors and staff. My name is Pedro Perez from Dracena Street in Greenwood. Regarding the post on LinkedIn by the City of Joondalup, cooperation with the ECU, in a project involving skin conductance and eye tracking and other things, the city has answered that they will spend $5,000 towards ECU to conduct this project, and they will be making cost-effective means of promoting Joondalup based on the research of the participants.
Mr. Perez, I'll bring you to a question, please.
Yeah, well, I just want to understand, the city spending $5,000 on this project,
yes,
learning to use these capabilities.
Yes.
Can the city guarantee that this will never be used in the public?
This is a closed research program in partnership with ECU, and this is not something that the city will be doing with the general public, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mayor, and through you, to add to your response, what the city will be using will be the data collected, which will enable us to more effectively produce marketing material to attract visitors and present more rewarding activities in the city of Joondalup for both visitors and residents through our marketing material, which will be more cost-effective because we'll have a much better idea of what works and what doesn't in terms of attracting people to come to this marvellous city of ours.
Thank you very much. That concludes public question time, and we will proceed to public statement time. There's a set of procedures which relates to public statement time, and I'll request that you follow my direction at all times. You're able to make a statement for up to 2 minutes. Your statement should be directed to the chair and also be polite and respectful. Also, no question or discussion will occur at the end of your statement, and I'd ask that you please come forward and state your name and address
for the public record before making your statement. Now, a number of, I'll do a couple of things a bit differently tonight, and there's a range of reasons why, but a number of residents had their names down to make statements at briefing session. They were not under the rules allowed to do so, but they had some conflicting advice on that, and on that basis I undertook that I would give them the first call. I note that two of those people have already put their name down for a statement tonight, so they'll be called first. I'll call the other two if they still wish to, and then I will work through the other names. So for our first statement, I call forward Mr. Stuart Cole.
Good evening, Mayor, Councillors and Directors and other members of the City. My name is Stuart Colum. I'm from number 9 Merrifield Place, Mullaloo. And my statement is to deal with the petition and in particular regard to the proposed car parking improvement plan. The community being Merrifield Place, not the public at large, that we had on our petition, is not in agreement with the proposed plan. We'd like to seek a more safer design that we're after. The community would like to make a statement in that regard. So, number one, the community does not support clearing or digging into the dunes or relocating the fence to make way for car parking. The dune system is our last line of defence and needs protection. They're under enormous pressure from erosion, ocean sea level rising and fires. Currently, the dunes are well fenced and in good condition. Councillor Pizzi, who was we were grateful enough to visit the street, did ask a poignant question to all the residents, and the question was a show of hands as to who would be in agreement to move the fence, and there was not one hand raised out of all of the participants at that meeting. The community has demonstrated to all councillors who have kindly managed to attend the street, the residents carefully marked out all of the various proposed designs, being 90 degrees, 60 degrees. We had tape measures on site. We had paint marks and chalk lines, and it was clearly demonstrated that neither of these designs fitted the narrow street. There were power poles in the way and fence lines, and it's just not possible to physically fit 90 degrees, 60 degrees, or 45 degrees in accordance with Australian standards that was demonstrated. The community, number three, the community will not support substandard narrow footpaths, will not support substandard road widths, and the community will not support forcing pedestrians, cyclists and the public onto the road who visit the street.
Thank you, Mr. Colum. For our next statement, I call Natalie Colum.
Hello, Mayor, Councillors. I'm Natalie Colum, 9 Merrifield Place, Mullaloo. We do not want to stop people coming to Merrifield. In fact, we asked for parking back in 2021 due to the congestion in peak times. Those councillors who attended our street had a glimpse of how dangerous the street will become during those peak times in summer. Thank you for coming out. The residents of Merrifield were given 1 week's notice by an email of the imminent works for a car park to be erected in our streets. Merrifield is 95% of the time a quiet cul-de-sac. We received no community consultation. This was stated in our petition, and 100% of the street agree that when we say community consultation, we mean the residents of Merrifield Place. We know the street and its current dangers. We are an active street with many people riding, skateboarding, riding electric scooters and playing ball, including our own children. We are terrified a fatality will occur as the two plans we have seen are downright dangerous. The street in Nautical Grove, Belden, that the city referred to as an example of Merrifield's 60-degree concept plan, is much wider, with one difference being an extension of each car bay length by 2.2 metres. So the reversing cars can see prior to entering the 50 kilometre per hour street. Blindly reversing onto oncoming traffic, travelling at 50 kilometres per hour is completely dangerous. then add bikes, scooters, skaters using the road as well. The path is not wide enough to accommodate these users. Safety over quantity. Is the life of a child really worth a few extra car bays? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Colan. Is Jennifer Foley present? If not, is Alicia Gangemi present? Not a problem. I'll then return to the public statement register more broadly and invite forward Ms. Mary O'Byrne.
Today and always we stand on the traditional lands of the Noongar people, Mary O'Byrne, 123 Glencore Loop, Kinross. The Director of Infrastructure admitted at the briefing that the city should have made both Alcar dog enclosures bigger from the outset. Perhaps the city could look at moving the small dog enclosure down to the other half of the park, presently used by dogs on leads, making over the present dog enclosures eventually to the use of the large dogs. There are actually more small dogs than large dogs using the Alcar facility, especially at the weekends. Their enclosure is very worn with obvious trip hazards. The small dog area is in a truncated, confined space. For both enclosures, the pathways are directional only to the gates either end, preventing circular movement of pet owners around the enclosures. If dogs poop at a far distance, place from the present pathways, then that extra distance for the elderly in particular over broken surfaces with lots of trip hazards, which last weekend included reticulation box lifted higher in the sand. There are small holes everywhere. With regard to seating for the elderly and disabled, two limestone seating blocks facing each other at the city end of the small dog enclosure, just a couple of metres in, well, it's obligatory for the dogs to mark them on entry. Both blocks are facing each other, which encourages heart-to-heart conversation and unintentional lapses in concentration from the dog owners. Appropriate age-related seating and covers in this area would give independent encouragement to older park users and allow proper observation of the dogs. And perhaps the city could think about cage enclosures to store equipment that the park owners could use. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Jacqueline Hope.
Good evening, everyone. The partnership with ECU, Jacqueline Hope, 136 Gradient Way. The partnership with the ECU on the research project has sparked controversy in the community. As representatives of ratepayers, you have a vested interest in making sure that it's fit for purpose and its actual intent is carried out. Here are our concerns with these technologies. Eye-tracking technology poses serious threats to individual privacy, as gathering of eye movement data can reveal deeply sensitive information such as health conditions, mental states, behavioural tendencies, and even sexual preferences. The skin conductance measures sympathetic autonomic activity, in that is associated with both emotion and attention. Data can be gathered by wireless devices such as a smartwatch. Facial recognition was used extensively to monitor the movement of Australians during the CV19. The application of facial recognition has been highly criticised as invasive. In 2020 Monash study, some 62% of Australians said they should be able to opt out of facial recognition databases. 49% of respondents called using facial recognition to the identity of people in public places as an unwarranted invasion of privacy. This council has been asked about their stance on proposed uptake of 15-minute smart cities. Do you support this proposal, I wonder? This technology is the hardware and software component necessary to implement 15-minute cities, as confirmed by similar projects run by the UK Council of Oxfordshire. If we need to find out how visitors feel about the city, one can simply do it in the old-fashioned way, ask them in a survey, without the need for invasive technology. I urge Council to be very careful before herding us down this road. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hope. For our next statement, I call forward Mr. Roscoe McGlashan, although I will caution you, sir, on your statements following two statements you made in question time. I hope to not take to
sit
you down.
Sorry, gentlemen, I filled out the wrong form, okay?
Okay. No, thank you, Mr. McGlashan. No worries, thank you, sir. Mr. George Kasha.
George Coucher, 47 Parkwood Avenue, Woodvale. Good evening. Climate change is real. Don't trust my word for it. Trust the 97% of experts, climate scientists, who state the same thing and say we must act now. We're not talking weather, we're talking climate. Let's not nitpick on the degree of human impact. Is it 100% or 50% man-made? It doesn't matter. It's happening. The planet is warming and already having a negative impact around the world. Can I stop climate change? No. Can the city of Joondalup stop climate change? No. Can any country alone stop climate change? No. Can we as a collective do something to address climate change? Yes. Do we all have a collective responsibility, a moral responsibility to do something? Yes. The climate change survey conducted by the city showed 74% of respondents rate the issue of climate change important to extremely important to them personally. 87% of respondents want the city to take somewhat urgent to extremely urgent action to mitigate climate change. 46% said extremely urgent. Does the city need targets for greenhouse emissions reduction? Well, 87% of respondents want a target. 66% want an ambitious target. These people are ratepayers who, I assume, expect councillors to listen to their views, majority views, as you can see. The city needs to take a leadership role. I realise the city is already doing work in this space, but having a strategic climate change plan is required in moving forward. I trust councillors will listen to ratepayers and support progressing the plan this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Coucher. I also invite forward Ms. Michelle Kwok.
Michelle Kwok, 15 Crawford Ocean Reef. Good evening, Mayor Councillor. Under the Local Government Act 1995, Section 5.92, a person who is council member or committee member can have access to any information held by the local government that is relevant to the performance of the person of his or her functions under this Act or under any other written law, thus including all written contracts entered or proposed to be entered into by the local government. Under the Local Government Act 5.41, functions of CEO. The functions of CEO are B, to ensure that advice and information is available to the council so that informed decisions can be made, especially when an item involves financial decision on how ratepayers' money should be spent. We understand that CEO has delegated power to make decisions in certain areas, not to disclose agreement or contract to council is raising some serious concern. Regarding Synergy Power Purchase Agreement, I spoke to a beef farmer down south. He was approached by Synergy Red to put giant wind turbines on his farm. These land lease deals raised lots of concern. Example, 66 years land lease deal with the land lease deal will devalue the land and resell value. There are restrictions on building houses or planting trees. He was offered cash incentives to say nothing. He reckons they are a bunch of crooks and refused the deal. And the whole thing is a money laundering scheme, turning prime agricultural land into industrial wind factories. Council need to exercise good judgment to protect our assets. There's more reason why everything related to these power purchase agreements should be transparent to all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kwok. For our final statement this evening, I call forward Mr. Brian Borger.
Brian Borger, 49 Pacific Way, Belden. Conscious of a nation. I was here last year with my 22-year-old son sitting right there to get mom's citizenship. In my hands, I have a device called LifeVac. It's an anti-choking machine. Unfortunately, this year my son passed away in my arms after 5 minutes. After doing first aid, mouth-to-mouth, CPR, I couldn't save him. Sorry. I'm here to request is a notice of motion which is going to be brought forward. This device saves lives. If I had it, I could have saved my son. My son goes every Friday to Joondalup toddler's time. So my son is a local. I'm a local. I couldn't wake up this morning. I have those days when I can't get out of the bed. But I decided just to come and show you guys this. So I'm here to talk to your conscience, to give it a thought. We have kids. And we are a community. There's no community without unity. So I'll just ask for your conscience to think about this, to be placed in every, next to any defibrillators that the city owns, and it's less than $200. So just, I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow or the next day. 4 moms contacted me, they lost their kids since January. And I can't keep sitting in my bed every day and not do anything. So if you guys give me a chance, the department needs data. If I can get data from the city of Joondalup that these things can save lives, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Borger. That concludes public statement time. The next item of business this evening is apologies and leaves of absence. Both Councillor Raftus and Councillor Fishwick are on a leave of absence this evening, and otherwise we have a full contingent. Are there any elected members requesting a leave of absence? Councillor Hamilton.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. From the 28th to the 20th of July. Apologies. From June to July.
Thank you, Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the 6th of July to the 14th of July 2024 and the 7th of August to the 12th of August inclusive.
Thank you. Any other requests? Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just bringing up the date. If you just bear with me for 10 seconds, I will get the date for you. Where's my calendar? Sorry. Just find my calendar. from the 8th of July until the 16th of July inclusive. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other requests? Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Sorry, apologies, Mr. Mayor. I meant the 20th of July. It's the 20th of July.
No, that's right there. Yep, thank you. 20th to 28th of July.
Yes. Thank you. Through you, either from the 1st to the 4th of July.
So I'll just grab that one for Councillor Vinciullo. 1st to the 4th. I think that's Councillor O'Neill, that one. Number 3, that's yours, and Councillor O'Neill.
Number 2 is mine.
So number 2 is Councillor O'Neill. Sorry, Councillor May. What were your dates again, please, Councillor May?
Sorry, mine are actually next to number 2, 6th of July to the 14th.
So, no. If you go, governance team, just pause there. Leave that as Councillor O'Neill. You have that right. If you go down to number 4, Councillor May is seeking the same dates.
It's actually until the 17th inclusive. Sorry, not the 14th.
17th. Perfect. Thank you. And Councillor Vinciullo was the 1st to the 4th of July. As a point five, I'm just going to go through this step by step, Councillor Hamilton Prime. 1st to the 4th. And Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Sorry, apologies, I should have sent it through. The 20th of June to the 28th of...
Well, we can't do it retrospectively, Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Sorry, 28th of June to the 20th of July. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you. Do I have a mover for that motion? Moved Councillor Vinciullo, seconded Councillor O'Neill. I will put that motion and ask you to cast your votes on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed, and that is carried. Thank you. Next item of business is confirmation of minutes. Elected members, we were advised earlier this evening that there is a correction which we need to consider. However, that correction also includes some confidential legal advice. So I'm proposing a procedural motion that in accordance with Clause 14.1 of the Meeting Procedures Local Law, that we suspend the operation of Clause 4.3, Order of Business of the Meeting Procedures, to enable consideration of Item 8, Confidential Minutes, and also Item 12.12, because if we're going behind closed doors, we may as well put that one there as well, being the tender for plumbing maintenance services and minor plumbing works, to be discussed after motions of which previous notice has been given. Do I have a seconder for that procedural motion? Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. That is just both of those items have confidential attachments. One of them in particular allows us to consider those attachments which have only arrived with us today. So I'm suggesting that we put those to the very back of the agenda, so we don't have to close the meeting, ask residents who are here for a number of the issues that are on tonight's agenda to leave, and then come back in at those points. I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes by... cast your votes. Thank you. Declare the voting closed, and that is carried. The next item of business is announcements by the presiding member without discussion. First of all, the City of Joondalup is hosting month-long celebrations to commemorate NAIDOC in 2024, honouring the history, culture, language and the many achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. A program of events running throughout July will give residents and visitors the opportunity to learn more about the world's oldest continuous living culture. The City is supporting our community to celebrate with local Aboriginal people, and events include Noongar language classes, an Aboriginal film festival, learning a new craft, meeting an Aussie icon, and lots of fun for all ages. Please visit the City of Joondalup's website for the full program and information on booking activities. The City is also excited to welcome the recent announcement that the next phase of the Ocean Reef Marina redevelopment is about to commence. Construction will be commencing on the new headquarters for Marine Rescue Whitfords and also facilities for the Ocean Reef Sea Sports Club and the Joondalup City RSL. These new facilities will feature state-of-the-art amenities to support the crucial operations of Western Australia's dedicated volunteer rescue service, and the largest being Whitfords, ensuring the safety and well-being of all who enjoy our coastal waters. The City has also contributed $3 million towards the $6.48 million building for Ocean Reef Sea Sports Club and the Joondalup City RSL, which is another key component of the Ocean Reef Marina, a premier waterfront precinct for Perth's northern suburbs and what will surely be a key tourism destination for Western Australia. Finally, for a sixth consecutive year, the City of Joondalup has received a Gold Australasian Reporting Award, the highest honour a local government can receive for excellence in annual reporting. The Australasian Reporting Awards benchmarks the City's annual report against world best practice reporting criteria and against other local governments across Australia, New Zealand and the Asia-Pacific region. The City's 22-23 annual report highlights the services, projects and activities that we've delivered since developing our new 10-year strategic community plan, Joondalup 2032. This ongoing recognition demonstrates the City's commitment to providing a balanced and reasonable account of our economic, environmental and social performance over time. Next item of business is identification of matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. As I advised at the minutes, there is one non-confidential report, which also includes a confidential attachment, and that has been moved as a procedural motion to after motions of which previous notice has been given. Next item of business is petitions. We are in receipt of one petition as included in tonight's agenda. I will go to the ward councillors in the first instance if they wish to move that petition, or if Councillor Kingston, do you wish to move the petition? Do you wish to move the petition as ward councillors?
Yeah, we're happy to move the petition.
Thank you. Moved Councillor Pizzi, seconded Councillor May. Councillor Kingston. Councillor Pizzi first.
Happy to move the petition in its whole as it's written for Maryfield Place. And I just want to ask a question to the director by the chair, if that's okay.
Yes, question, yes.
Will you be able to halt this project for further discussion and plan?
Director Classen.
Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Pizzi, as per your request earlier this week, the city staff has been in discussions with the contractor, and we are able to further delay the project to enable further discussions to and options to be considered.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just one question from myself. So if we vote to receive this petition and refer it to the CEO, is the intention that a report comes back to Council before proceeding? Director Classen?
Mr. Mayor, yes, the intention is that the City will consider all the options and bring a report back to Council.
Bring a report back. Thank you. Thank you.
I will go to you, Councillor Kingston, in a second. Councillor Pizzi asked a question. You are entitled to read the petition out in full if you wish, or I'll just give you the option, Councillor Pizzi.
I will read it out for the people at home. It is a petition, a 30-signature petition has been received from residents of the City of Joondalup requesting that all imminent roadworks to Merrifield Place, Mullaloo, be halted and that community consultation be undertaken in regards to pedestrian, fire and car safety.
Thank you. Noting Councillor Kingston amendment, I think.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, Councillor Kingston.
May I move the amendment?
Yes. Yep. Happy to for that to be moved. I have a seconder for the amendment. Seconded Councillor Vinciullo. I think, Councillor Kingston, I'll confine you to reading out the amendment as it is.
As it is?
Yes.
Doesn't seem to be our usual process here.
I would refer you to the meeting procedures. It's somewhat awkward having an amendment. I think the spirit of the meeting procedures, which confines the mover to reading out, and I note the intent. I'm just...
Yeah, I just refer to your ruling on the 28th of November last year, which there was open discussion on the petition.
Yeah, I'll hand... That's fair. Councillor Kingston.
Yes, thank you. I'll read the amendment as suggested first. It's to add the words residents of Merrifield Place, so it then reads a 30-signature petition requesting that all imminent roadworks to Merrifield Place be halted and that community consultation be undertaken with the residents of Merrifield Place in regards to pedestrian, fire and car safety. And the purpose of this is just to clarify some wording in the petition which some residents felt may have been ambiguous. They've sent a letter, which I believe there is a support from all the residents in the street who have signed the petition, that this is the intention of what was meant in the petition. So, and as well, this is not changing the wording of the petition itself. It is to be noted that this is the council motion that is recommending what we move forward with. And so this is just the summary. So this is changing the summary so the council has a clear understanding what these residents are petitioning, and this is exactly in line with the letter that we have received from the residents today.
Thank you. Councillor Vinciullo.
Reserve, all right.
Councillors, if no further comments, I'll put the amendment and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed and the amendment is carried. We revert to the primary motion as amended. I will put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. Thank you. Declare the voting closed and that is carried. Next item of business is reports. As is my practice, I'll work my way around the room. I'll start, first of all, with Councillor O'Neill and work this way around. Councillor O'Neill.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chesser.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm aware that Councillor Lewis is moving an amendment to the item I wish to withdraw, 12.7. Thank you.
Would you like to withdraw it because he's moving as an amendment?
I would like to, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Councillor Vinciullo.
Nothing for me, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton Prime.
None, thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Councillor Pizzi.
Can I withdraw? Sorry, I just was looking at Councillor Hutton's amendment. I hadn't seen it. 16.1, I don't know if I have to remove that from my motion.
Yes.
12.14. 12.7. That was it. Thank you.
12.7. Thank you. I'll let Councillor Chester withdraw 12.7, but there'll be an opportunity to speak to it. Councillor May.
None for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jones.
None, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Could I withdraw 12.3, 12.6, and... I presume 12.15 is being withdrawn as well. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. It's as long as somebody does.
Thank you. Councillor Hutton.
Yes, I was going to withdraw 12.5. I was going to withdraw 12.7, but that's already been withdrawn. I'm then also going to remove 12.15.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor.
None, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will, as is my practice, withdraw 14.1 and 14.2. I had planned to do 12.6 just because it's got an absolute majority, but I know Councillor Kingston has, and Councillor May, I also have you down for 12.8, which you gave notice of at the briefing session. So we'll commence at item 12.3, Expanding Horizons 2033. Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. I'll move it as written.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Seconded Councillor Hutton. Councillor Kingston.
I don't wish to speak to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hutton. Any discussion on this item? Councillor Chester.
No, I was going to ask for your indulgence. I am going to ask a question about payments. That's item 12.9, if you will.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Any discussion on 12.3? If not, I will put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. Thank you. Councillor Hutton, item 12.5.
Yep.
Do you wish to move?
Yeah, I'll move. Yeah.
Do I have a seconder for that? I'm happy to second. Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, I do just have a quick question. On page 266 of the agenda, there is reference to 108 signature petition has been received from the residents of the City of Joondalup requesting the rejection of the childcare centre development proposed for lots 44 of 46 Grand Ocean Entrance, Burns Beach. Conscious of the fact that this was recently approved at JDAP, my question is in relation to the comment. So the comment reads, as this application is a development assessment panel application, a responsible authority report is currently being prepared. The date of that DAP meeting is yet to be determined. My question is in relation to the responsible authority report. I've obviously now read the responsible authority report. Just from my understanding and context, my opinion is the responsible authority report diverges from the opinion of the ward councillors and also the intent of the petition. I'm just curious to hear what the process is for making sure that such a report does actually align with the wishes and the views of council members in the future.
Thank you. Ms. Temple.
Thank you through you, Mr. Mayor. The city's role in the process for development assessment panel applications is to assess the application against the relevant planning framework. And so whilst it's acknowledged that council didn't support the proposed amendment to the structure plan which brought into play the use of the childcare centre onto the lot, that amendment was subsequently approved by the Western Australian Planning Commission, and so the use of a childcare centre was considered a permissible use under the planning framework. And so as the responsible authority, it's our role to assess the application against that framework, which includes that as a permissible land use.
Further comments? Councillor Hutton.
And again, this is my final question, and just from my understanding and concept, whenever a responsible authority report is being formed, I would assume there is a level of interpretation of the structure plans and how it would be applied. Is there any ability for council and council members to actually have a say on, I guess, their interpretation of that before such a report is formed?
Ms. Temple.
Thank you, and through you, Mr. Mayor. So the development assessment panel process is based on the statutory timeframes that are set down, which is usually 90 days for a proposal that requires public consultation. And so within that 90-day timeframe, the city is required to assess the application, undertake consultation, work with the proponent on any changes and those sorts of things. And there's no opportunity in that timeframe to formally present those proposals to council for consideration. Council members certainly have the opportunity as residents of the city to submit their comments via a submission on the proposal for those to be duly considered. And I guess I'll just refer back to my comments on the previous question insofar as the city's assessment is based on the planning framework that's in place at the time. And so that includes any local planning policies that have been adopted by council. And in this instance, a structure plan that was with the amendment that was approved by the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Councillor Hutton.
I'm sorry, Tiff Mittler, with my final question. You mentioned the local planning policies as informed by council decisions. Would I be right to interpret that amending the local planning policies would be the only lever that the council would have to make sure a recommendation of this sort in the future aligned with the views of council?
Ms. Temple.
Yes, thank you through you, Mr. Mayor. So local planning policies are one matter that a decision maker needs to have regard to when determining a proposal. And so certainly the local planning policy is the opportunity for council's position on a particular matter to be made clear. There are a number of matters that also need to be considered, which is set out in Clause 67 of the Planning and Development Regulations, and there's a list of well over sort of 30 matters that need to be considered there. But certainly, I guess in direct response to your question, a local planning policy is the opportunity for council's position to be made clear. Planning policies are instruments of due regard, and so they're not applied slavishly in terms of it's not a you must comply or it's not going to go through. So there does need to be an element of flexibility that sits within a policy environment.
Thank you. I'll reserve my right at this point. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thanks for you, Mr. Mayor. Question for the Acting Director and following on from Councillor Hutton's questions. So would I be right in saying that sitting elected members on JDAP have the opportunity to engage with ward councillors to discuss a forthcoming application and seek their views, and also the ward councillors have the opportunity to discuss with sitting elected members on the JDAP to pass on their views, but that the sitting elected members have no obligation to carry forward the views of the ward councillors. Thank you.
Ms. Temple.
Thank you for the question, and I may take some of that on notice just to clarify. It's certainly my understanding that sitting ward councillors have an opportunity to obviously express their views as they see fit, but I'm certainly happy to clarify that in writing to you.
Can I just please advise Council of a notice of motion, a declaration of interest that I've received from Councillor Vinciullo. It's an interest that may affect impartiality as Councillor Vinciullo's president of the Joondalup Symphony Orchestra, and they rehearse at the Whitford Senior Citizens venue, which is included in reference to is included in this attachment. Further comments? Just a very brief one for myself and probably for your benefit, Councillor O'Neill. You may very well be aware the petition from residents of Corinthian Court attended the briefing session and gave a deputation. We were able to advise them of the next steps if they wish to proceed. So that recording from the briefing session is captured. I don't know if you had discussion with them since, but no, you rung well on that event. If there's no further comments, I'll go to Councillor Hutton to close. I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare voting closed and the item is carried. Next item of business is 12.6, Annual Review of the Corporate Business Plan. Councillor Kingston.
I'll move it as written. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder? I'm happy to second. Councillor Kingston.
Yes, briefly. I think most members around the council are aware of my long ongoing discussions about the integrated planning framework with the city, the strategic community plan and the corporate business plan, and how that relates to the annual report. Although I still have some concerns with the corporate business plan, I just wanted to say that on page 42, the changes that have been suggested in the second and third paragraphs that are on there, so removing the link to the GRI and then trying to find that the administration is trying to find measures on a quarterly basis that can be reported to council and the community. I think that's a good step forward, and I think looking at what has been drafted, I think it's a positive step in the right direction. And I also appreciate that the second paragraph that's been put there that says about there being new milestones being included in the corporate business plan for the inclusion of performance measures within June 2032, which is the strategic community plan. Again, I think these are all steps in the right direction. I just wanted to thank the administration for taking some of those concerns on board. So thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? If not, I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. It's clear, the voting closed and the item is carried. Item 12.7, Draft Climate Change Plan, Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move the recommendations as printed in the report on page 51.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Do I have a seconder? Seconded, Councillor Vinciullo. Councillor Chester.
First of all, I'd like to thank the city staff for producing a very comprehensive report on the potential impact of climate on the city's residents, and comment that the response that was received from the survey clearly indicated that residents have a significant degree of concern about the major elements of the potential change in our climate in the near future. What I'm talking about here, of course, is higher temperature, less rainfall, and, of course, coastal retreat, which we're having to deal with. I do have a question for you all that. Okay. I was rather surprised to see the Director of Governance comment about the impact or potential carbon credits involved in our planting within our bushland areas, our streets and our parkland, in terms of the credits not being available. While I agree that the primary purpose of the tree planting is to provide shade and habitat, I don't see myself how that could not involve some degree of carbon sequestration. So I wonder if you could just point out to me who made that determination and whether we can change that in the future.
Ms. McCarrier.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your question. The main reason that we cannot count our tree planting towards our mitigation is because of an Australian standard, the National Carbon Offset Standard, that we need to comply with. That would enable us to count the tree planting towards our mitigation. There's certain calculations around that and also standards. So the primary purpose for the tree planting needs to be for carbon sequestration, not for amenity or for shade purposes. So if we couldn't comply with the standard, we couldn't count it towards mitigation.
I'm wondering whether it wouldn't be just as easy to say that we're sequestering carbon rather than providing shade to get around it. I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek, of course. Look, finally, I commend the report to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Councillor Vinciullo, a seconder.
I concur with a lot of the sentiment of Councillor Chester, minus the tongue-in-cheek. But outside of that, it's evident there's been a great body of work that's gone into this. I want to commend the city and those involved, and I'm excited to see the progression. So we're in a very exciting phase, and I'm proud to be part of the city of Joondalup with an initiative like this.
Thank you. I'll go Councillor Hutton first. Councillor Hutton.
I've just got some amendments I'd like to move as flagged with members. After discussion with members, I am going to break these amendments down. So the first amendment I will be moving is to point one. So point one will read, requests the draft climate change plan 2024 to 2034, provided in attachment one to this report, be amended to remove purchasing offsets through third parties in favour of more direct measures such as increasing tree planting by the city.
Thank you. So moved. Do I have a seconder for that amendment? Seconded Councillor Pizzi. Councillor Hutton.
Yes. So as FLAG, I'd first like to begin by, I guess, commending the administration for the work they've done on this plan. Obviously, there's been lots of feedback received from local councillors. I also note that this plan will go out for community consultation. As I have made well known to councillors, it is my opinion, particularly after the CHAR map process, that whenever we take something out for community consultation, we must get it to as close to as we are comfortable with as possible. And the community consultation process should be about enhancing the process instead of trying to polish the turd, as the old saying goes. So here, hence why I want to get it as good as possible. Now, my comments tonight will relate not into the question of climate change itself. I know that has been mentioned by a few in the gallery this evening, but it will be more about the approach that we take. Now, this evening, Councillor Chester has made an excellent point, which is about tree planting. For me, the question should be about delivering the best outcomes for our local community. If we are to go around the pathway of offsets, whether or not a piece of paper comes with those offsets should not be the question. The question should be, is there less carbon in the atmosphere, or is there more carbon in the atmosphere? Under the Australian standards, there are many procedures in place which allow offsetting, which I find personally quite questionable. I would say the development of such a framework is usually done through consultation processes with large industry bodies, and I do not suppose local councils would have had the same might in the persuasion process. So this amendment simply seeks to remove purchasing offsets from third parties and instead offsetting carbon emissions directly in the city through tree planting. Now, this approach has already been taken with offsetting of the emissions for vehicles, and I think we should expand it. It has obviously been mentioned that there is an additional benefit to tree planting, which is obviously reducing the urban heat island effect, and also providing amenity for local wildlife. And as Councillor Chester points out, I'm more than happy to make carbon offsetting the primary purpose of tree planting, and we can accept these other benefits as secondary impacts. What we really have here is the opportunity to green our city, offset carbon, and get the dual benefit. So that is why I'm moving this amendment. I will just foreshadow there is an additional amendment to do with renewable energy certificates. I am moving that separately. You can support this amendment and not support the next one. I put it to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Pizzi.
I do have a comment on this as a whole. Is that okay now? And relates to this. So I think it is important to not only ask the community the question of do they want the city to have strong emission targets set, but it is also important to ask the community how much they think that should cost and how much would they be willing to have their rates increased to pay for those targets. My question also to the community would be, the estimated cost for the draft climate change plan will be $25.43 million over a 10-year period. Would you rather see that money spent locally, or do you think that a power purchase agreement paying for wind farms that may or may not be adding energy onto the grid? I also have concerns of the environmental footprint that wind turbines have and their limited impact on power generated. Emission targets are a state and federal concern in my belief. Local governments should focus on local mitigating changes to help make City Joondalup more resilient to future environmental challenges. Mitigating climate change locally with power purchase agreements that gives questionable amounts of energy back to the grid that costs $500,000, which does not come to council for approval, therefore the community will have no chance to give their opinions either. Spending that money locally, creating biodiversity and decreasing our urban island heat effect, I believe sets the City of Joondalup to be a more resilient to future climate issues. I think we should be leaving emission targets for the state government, which would free funds up to City of Joondalup to invest locally on attending our own coastlines and bushland areas. I appreciate the work the city officers have spent on this, and I applaud the city on stopping the offset of carbon from fleet emissions and planting locally instead. But I think we can take this further and really be ambitious and bold and make a decision for the benefit of the community and future generations. In saying this, I think we could do better on the draft climate change plan. I will be voting for this amendment to go to community consultation, so that we can understand what the community would like to see done to mitigate future climate issues in the city of Joondalup.
Thank you. Councillor Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thanks for you, Mr. Mayor. And I have a question relating to this amendment we see on the screen before us. And I note that the Councillor Hutton's amendments were provided during this afternoon at a very late stage and included officers' comments. But I would request officers' comments specific to this one point that's currently on the screen, if that's possible, please. Thank you.
It's fair. Ms. Macaria? Or Director Parry? I think so. The Deputy Mayor is looking for, given that this is separated out from what was provided earlier, specific comment and advice on this amendment.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the amendment around offsets, currently, as it sits, the draft climate change plan does not propose the use of any offsets. Offsets is part of our emissions hierarchy, and it's always used as a last resort, so used for emissions that the city cannot avoid. There is an option within the hierarchy for us to be able to use offsets for that purpose. However, following feedback from elected members via the two workshops that we had, we have removed the use of offsets from the draft plan. So currently there are no projects within the draft climate change plan that refer to purchasing of offsets.
Deputy Mayor?
And just to further clarify, does that mean that the officers support this amendment or not? Thank you.
Ms. Macaria?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there is currently a part four to the recommendation, which notes that we have removed the offsets. In terms of support for offsets as a measure, they are still included as our emissions hierarchy in terms of our mitigation action. So we still have included that within the plan, that if that's something that council or the city wanted to consider in the future, it is still available. We haven't removed that part of the climate change plan that still sits within the draft plan.
Further questions or comments? Councillor Vinciola.
Thank you. Through you. I'm just seeking clarification. So in context, are we saying this is redundant based on what you've just said there?
Ms. McCarrie.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Currently, there's no projects listed within the draft climate change plan for offsetting, so that budget won't be set aside for offsetting the vehicle emissions in the coming budget. Instead, that budget will be used for further tree planting. However, if there is consideration in the future to require offsets, that is something that the City or Council could consider. Offsets are still an important part of the hierarchy because there are some emissions that we just can't avoid. We do need to use vehicles, we need fleet. There's other forms of emissions that are created and are unavoidable, and that's where offsets come into play.
Thank you. Further comments? Just a very quick comment from myself to close. I want to applaud the work done by officers in climate change strategy. I know that we've referred it back previously. Councillors may not be aware. I think we're up for an award, an international award potentially on the previous one because of a number of the works that we've done. In particular, the thing that I'm the proudest of that we've done as a city, Councillor Pizzi said ambitious and bold, and we have bold in our tagline. One of the boldest things that we have done as a council is our Leafy City program. Don't underestimate that. No other council that I'm aware of in the Perth metropolitan area has held the line, sometimes against very strong community pushback, at greening our city. And it takes that kind of bold determination to actually achieve urban reforestation. And so just from me to each and every one of you elected members for supporting that program, I say thank you. It's great to see it develop with trees such as Eddystone Avenue, which Councillor May mentioned in recent days, where those tuart trees are maturing at a rapid pace, but there's a range of different species right across the city. In line with that, I'm supportive of this amendment. I note
the governance team's comments about Australian standards, and I thank them very much for that advice and the response that they've made to elected member feedback. But I am very passionate about us continuing to invest in reforestation of the city of Joondalup wherever possible, and I'm comfortable with the amendment as it's been put forward to highlight that that is our priority going forward as a council. Councillor Hutton, do you wish to close?
Yeah, just briefly, I thank everyone for their input on this topic and matter. I just want to address this point that's been made. This is a 10-year plan. At the moment, as has been said, offsets are on the table as a last resort option. What I'm effectively requesting we do with this amendment is replace third-party offsets and put in place direct offsets, which is tree planting, as the potential last stop pillar. I think this sends a pretty clear message, but again, I just go back to the point, it's a 10-year plan, it's a long time, we have to give certainty, and I think this is the opportunity to send a clear message. We want to see this money spent in the community, we want to see the benefits, and we want to see the co-impacts for our local wildlife and also to reduce the urban heat island effect. So although it may be a small change in some people's eyes, I do encourage you all to support this amendment.
Thank you. I'll put the amendment and ask you to cast your votes. It's clear the voting closed and the amendment is carried. Councillor Hutton, second part.
So the second part is to take point one and to amend the section. So I'll read it in its entirety. So it's request the draft climate change plan 2024-2034 provide as attachment one to this report be amended to remove, and now it's going to say purchasing offsets or renewable energy through third parties in favour of more direct measures such as increased tree planting and clean power generation by the city.
Thank you. And I've seconded for that amendment, seconded Councillor Pizzi, Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, so just, I guess, following on from my previous comments, again, commend the city for the work that they've done on this great initiative. The main point I want to make here is that I do not feel at the moment we have enough clarity around the mechanism in which the renewable energy is purchased to make a finance decision on it. My understanding of how this works is effectively we're purchasing renewable energy certificates, and we're not actually seeing that direct impact. I do have, I guess, a question around the cost, and I'm not sure if it's too late, but it would be worthwhile someone asking the directors, are we purchasing energy at the most economically efficient rate? And the reason I ask that question is we are constantly told that renewable energy is the cheapest form of energy. If renewable energy is the cheapest form of energy, then we should not be paying extra for certificates that represent the purchasing of renewable energy. And if renewable energy is the cheapest form of energy, as we are told, it would make much more sense that where energy is being created, it be created on Joondalup assets. Now, what does that look like? That means solar panels. That means potential small-scale turbines on roofs. There are many options. But what this amendment also does, adding to the previous option, it again reinforces the option of tree planting. Now, as is in my comments and justification for this, I think the tree planting should be the priority. I think as the priority, we should be offsetting emissions through more tree planting, but we should have the last, I guess, in that hierarchy of options, the hierarchy of options should actually have renewable energy and generation as the final the pillar. That should be the stopgap, but I would like to see us do that directly here at the city. I am conscious of the budget implications, and I'm sure as these options become available, they'll come back to council and we can improve them on a case-by-case basis. But for me, it's about getting the most economically efficient outcome. And if down the track it proves that it's more economically efficient, once we have more clear detail to purchase renewable energy through third-party sources or through the trading of certificates, and we can actually see tangible impacts. Because one of the concerns I have here is that renewable energy is potentially created, and it's created anyway, and then there's this kind of virtual certificate that exists somewhere on a ledger that we're purchasing, and it's actually having no net impact to the amount of renewable energy in the system or the grid. The best way to increase renewable energy in the system and the grid is actually to generate it yourself and use it yourself. And we will, over this 10-year period, see a continued advancement in that technology and also potentially the ability to capture through batteries and storage. So just to be clear, my priority will continue to be the tree planting, but if we are going to do the go down the power generation, we should look at it being done by the city on the city buildings and city assets.
Thank you, Councillor. Director Classen.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'll take the question in two parts, Councillor Hutton. The first part is, are we buying our energy at the best price that we can achieve? Absolutely. And perhaps for background, the power purchase agreement is not just for green energy, it's for energy in general. The power purchase agreement for Walga combined a lot of buying power from a lot of local governments. And although the city was already well advanced in comparison with other local governments, it still saw a huge advantage to the city in terms of the purchasing of our energy requirement through the Walga Power Partnership Agreement. To enable us at the time to understand that, we've actually engaged an external consultant to review the offer through the Walga Power Purchase Agreement versus the market at the time, and it was assessed that it is much lower, the offer is much lower than what we could achieve individually as a local government. So to answer the first question, are we purchasing the best value on the market? We do believe that that is the case. In terms of the green energy as part of the offer, there was the option to take up green energy at this stage, and I'll take that part of the question. I'll have to take that on notice. From memory, it is slightly more expensive, but I will take that on notice and provide that information to you. The city, in terms of the contract, signed up for a three-year contract. Year one, there was 0% green energy, year two, 25%, and year three, 50%. So, but I will provide you with that information after the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Pizzi, a seconder?
Thank you. It's not through cost that is my concern for the power purchase agreement for renewable energy. I would rather be mitigating and strengthening our biodiversity in our local area instead of Joondalup to create more tangible impacts. Not purchasing through projects like wind power that may have a larger environmental impact than what it is mitigating. By using this money to plant locally, I think it would set up City of Joondalup in a much better position for our environment, our mental health into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a brief comment on the amendment. Not sure I can support this one, simply because I don't believe the city would have a capacity to fully offset its emissions purely by planting trees and having all renewable energy on city property for a few reasons. First of all, we don't have the necessarily have the space to do so on city assets. Many of city assets already have solar panels. Battery storage is expensive, I'm not sure. I think having this as is would just leave the options open for the most cost-effective way of reducing emissions. We don't have to purchase offsets. We can still plant additional trees, and then where there's a gap, we can purchase offsets or simply purchase renewable energy. It's also worth noting that in the next number of years, like in the last 15 years, Australia's energy policy will probably change several times, like it has since my adult life. We've somehow managed as a country to have the most expensive power in the world, yet have the most abundant energy resources in the world. So I'm not sure how successive governments have managed to stuff it up so badly, but that's another level of government to talk about. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I should have mentioned this earlier. This may be slightly peripheral to the amendment, but I can't let this go without recognising the contribution of the former Mayor Troy Pickard, who was the promoter, the initiator of the Leafy City program, and continued to be an unstinting promoter and supporter of that program. And it needs to be acknowledged. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Councillor Chester. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor.
So I don't recall the city advising council that renewables is the cheapest form of energy. Could I seek clarification from the administration as to whether that is a fact? Thank you.
Director Klassen.
Through Mr. May, as I've indicated in my response to Councillor Hutton, the green energy is more expensive, but I will provide the exact details, so you are correct, it is not cheaper.
Thank you. And in relation to the amendment before us, I ask a similar question to the administration as I asked on the first amendment, which is, could I please request officer comments on the amendment before us now, including whether it's supported by the officers. Thank you.
Ms. Vicario.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. As we described in our officer comment, without the purchase of renewable energy through the Wowga Sustainable Energy Project, which, as Dr. Klassen explained, provides the city with a much cheaper form of purchasing that energy, it would be very difficult for the city to meet our carbon emission targets that we've proposed in the draft climate change plan, which is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 80% below our 21-22 emissions by 2030-31 and to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. It would be very, very difficult for us to meet those targets that we've set out within the plan without the purchase of renewable energy.
Further comments? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Yes. I will be supporting this amendment, and the reason is it goes to the primary motion about what is the public going to be consulted on. The concern I have with this is that fundamentally I still have difficulty understanding exactly what is the nature of the power purchase agreement with Wowga and the city's involvement in it. I did review the as much as possible the Wowga information that is available in relation to this agreement, which doesn't really go into the specifics about how this arrangement works or the city's involvement in it or responsibilities or obligations. And the document I found, which was the most helpful, was looking at the ACCC determination, which was required before the local governments could enter into this agreement and purchase contestable power through Synergy, and before also that they could before they could purchase certificates on the energy market as well. So the concern I have is that looking at this 3.3 million, and then at least on page 49, it says that this is going to cost 3.3 million and save 4,500 tons of CO2 equivalent annually. And here the statement seems to say that we're purchasing renewable energy. It doesn't seem to me clear that this purchase is actually purchasing renewable energy in the most straightforward sense of that sentence. What, as far as I understand with the energy market, if you plug something into a PowerPoint, is that you receive whatever is the mix of the energy that is available at the time. So this time of day, there's no solar. There's limited amount of wind energy, so it'll be 80% maybe non-renewable. During the day, when it's sunny, if it's a peak day in summer, you might get 60 or 70% renewable if it's a very good day and very sunny. So at any one time, it's not quite possible to say that we could purchase 100% renewable energy. So from them, what I understand in relation to how that statement comes about is that on the energy market, the energy regulator provides one renewable certificate for each megawatt generated by a renewable energy producer. And the claim is that if the city buys that certificate, either directly or indirectly, whether it's through Synergy or through Wowga, the city is then purchasing renewable electricity. And that's a claim that I seem to have trouble understanding how that exactly works. It appears to be what that certificate actually is a tradable subsidy that is given to the renewable producer. Does that mean that if the subsidy is not bought, that the renewable energy is not provided? That doesn't seem to be the case. If the subsidy is bought, does that mean that there's more renewable energy in the energy market? Not necessarily. The certificate could be bought, the subsidy paid, and that income by the renewable energy provider doesn't necessarily follow that it will be invested into renewable energy. And then I looked into the question of, is it saving 4,500 tons of CO2 equivalent annually? And that seemed to also be problematic. That seems to be a carbon accounting, an outcome of certain form of carbon accounting. in 2007 for Scope 2 emissions, which is emissions generated by people purchasing electricity, buying renewable certificates on the energy market were not able to be considered to be offsetting tons of carbon. And then in 2017, there seemed to be a change in the carbon accounting rules, and then buying the certificates did count if you bought those certificates and surrendered them to the regulator. So it does seem to be, there's a question on our mind, if we do buy this, if directly or indirectly the city buys these certificates, can we guarantee that there's more renewable energy on the grid? And that doesn't seem to be necessarily the case. So some of these statements, I just find it quite confusing. And then reading further the ACCC determination, which the local governments needed to obtain to assert which they were not engaging in monopolistic activity or monopolistic activity within the energy markets, it there seemed to be a discussion in those ACCC documents that these WOLGA agreements are going to possibly in the future purchasing the city actually being involved in the purchase of renewable energy plants up to 200,000 megawatts. It just seems to be quite unclear. And then when I've requested these documents from the city, for example, the MOU, the response in the city is that the MOU contains a confidentiality clause indicating that it may not be released to elected members unless they're required to know the confidential
Thank you, Councillor Vinson. Thank you. For the comments, I'll go to comments before I take questions. Councillor Vinciullo, I'm starting to forget now. I don't think you've spoken. Councillor Vinciullo.
Thank you, through you. I'm just, obviously there's a lot to digest and unpack through this, but I'm just looking at this more as a, with the pitching of offsets, more as a, this is a bit of an energy mix. And my concern is that we're removing options. You know, as this, the city's alluded, it's all part of a pyramid, and we're removing basically a big part of it by, potentially making this decision. So I'm conflicted, and I would say this concerns me. I don't like removing options, and for that, that is probably where I'm wrestling with at the moment.
Thank you. Councillor Pizzi, do you have a question?
A question. And I will ask the city to humour me because you have answered this many times in strategy sessions, and I appreciate that, but it's been brought up tonight. So I'd just like the city to confirm, when we're talking about emission targets, can you just confirm for us that the local government does not have to set an emission target and we can just tackle climate change locally and put mitigating circumstances in without reaching a specific target?
Ms. Vicario or Director Perry?
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. That is correct. There's no statutory requirement for the city to have an emissions reduction target. However, we have had feedback from the community, as we've spoken about, in terms of the consultation through the community consultation survey and SCRG, where there was large support for a target. The other thing that the target provides is it enables us to report against the target. If we did not have a target, we would need to look at how we would actually report our progress or success in terms of mitigation and greenhouse abatement to the community.
Thank you for that.
Of course. Further comments, just quickly from myself then, and advise Councillor Hutton as well this afternoon, I'm not able to support this part of it. I think we're just talking about the climate change plan here, noting the power purchasing agreement that we've entered into with cities, for the most part, very economically advantageous to us. Our local governments working together get a good price in the contestable market. But also, secondly, I don't think, I mean, we already explore our own clean power generation opportunities in terms of photovoltaics on city rooftops. No doubt at some point in the future we'll look at battery systems to a larger degree. I think some of our facilities might already have some in them, but I'm not sure about that. But really what we're talking about here, we're going to have to go to market no matter what. For the city's baseload requirements, even if we filled every single roof of every single building with photovoltaics, it's not going to come anywhere near what we need as a city, and this is the part of it that I suggest we don't change at this point in time, and if elected members want to look further into the city's purchasing agreement, I suggest following it up externally to the climate change plan, which I know has been referred back already, and I think would be good to keep it moving forward. Thank you. Councillor Hutton, do you wish to close?
Am I able to ask one final question?
Councillor?
Yeah. So just in regards to the comment about not being able to make our carbon offset targets or carbon emission targets without going down this route, I'm wondering if the officer's projections on carbon emissions has factored in the increasing supply of renewable energy to the grid that's already happening.
Ms. Vicario?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The way that we have calculated achieving the proposed emissions targets is looking at our current mix of energy purchase and how we're currently using energy and our greenhouse gas emissions profile. So as it currently stands, we haven't been able to project what that might look like in the future. We've just based it on what we're currently doing and what we've proposed to do in the draft climate change plan.
Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, I'll round off then. Firstly, before I start, I would just like to thank everyone for having such a respectful debate. I genuinely am putting forward my ideas. It's good to hear your ideas, and we can hopefully get the best outcome for our community. So thank you very much for that. I just want to, deal with this final point here to do with the projections. I suppose the issue here is we're assuming that you can actually pick the molecules of energy that come off of the grid. Now, the point I would make is that over time, the grid is gradually increasing the amount of renewables that's being fed into it. Eventually, the grid will reach a maximum point where it cannot take any more renewables. We know there's a discussion at the moment around about gas versus nuclear energy to provide baseload power. So I just go back to this point. The issue I have with the renewable energy, the potential purchasing of these certificates, because that's what it is, it's a ledger that exists. You're not physically plugging in the computer from the City of Dunlop offices into a wind turbine. You're plugging it into the grid where the power is all mixed together. The grid itself is gradually increasing the amount of renewable energy that's going into the grid. If the grid's going to reach 50%, then every kilojoule of energy we take out of the system, 50% of it is renewable. Whether we purchase these certificates or not, the certificates is this sort of man-made generated ledger system. So for me, again, I just think we should focus on having a direct, tangible impact. I go back to this point. Trees, planting trees is my number one priority, and then purchasing the most economically efficient. There was a point made by Councillor Hill questioning the admin whether or not they had said that renewable energy was the cheapest form of energy. Just to clarify, I was not saying the administration was saying that. I was making that more as a general comment we hear from in political commentary. Renewable energy is the cheapest form of energy. I do think we'll get to that point. So for me, we need to purchase the most economically efficient option. We have to actually make a substantial impact. And we have to acknowledge the power that is on the grid is the power that we are going to be accessing. Whether or not we purchase these certificates is not going to make a difference. And the percentage of renewable energy on the grid will eventually reach a maximum point. It's going to reach that point regardless. And there's going to be other discussions. This is a much bigger issue than the City of Dunlop can deal with and address. What we can do is deal with the issues in our own backyard, and that is planting trees, generating own power, and reducing emissions where possible. That's why I suggest these amendments. Obviously, I encourage you to support them. But again, I thank everyone for respectful debate on this topic.
Thank you, Councillor Hutton. I'll put that amendment and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed and the amendment is not carried. I take it we revert then to the primary motion as amended and further discussion on. I'll just pause for a sec. I'm just going to chat with the governance team. Thank you.
Councillor Hutton, noting that you had a further point two that you'd flagged.
Yeah, this is the final amendment. Again, this is just in line with the wording I was provided with the admin. I just wanted to tie it all together. Now, this was to insert a new point two. So point two becomes point three, three becomes four, four becomes five.
Before you speak to it, do I have a seconder? Councillor Pizzi, Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, I'm just going to read it. Point two reads, endorses the draft climate change plan 2024-23, provided as attachment one to this report, subject to the amendment in part one above for community consultation for a period of 21 days.
Thank you. Councillor Pizzi?
I reserve my right.
Oh, sorry, I was...
That's fair enough. I'll give you the right. Councillor Hutton, please proceed.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't actually speaking through that. This is effectively just tying it all together. It's saying once this amendment takes place, we go out to community consultation to prevent further delay. I suppose now is the decision councils have to make, is are we comfortable going straight out to community consultation once the amendment is made, or would we like to see the amended report? I am proposing that we let the admin make the amendment and we progress with community consultation. A question I might ask is, in that process, will council be provided with the document for a once quick check over before it goes out, just to make sure there aren't any glaring issues. But otherwise, I'm happy to support this.
Director.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we would provide a communication plan as to what is intended with regard to the consultation, and we could provide a marked up copy of the alterations that we need to make to the plan as a result of the amendment being moved should the final resolution be passed by the council.
Thank you. Councillor Pizzi, do you still reserve your right?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm just going to jump in a bit earlier in this one, councillors. I think, and not knowing where we'd land at this point, I think given that we've gone with the minimalist change to arrive at this point, and noting that we've referred it back already, we've done that consultation, I personally would be much more comfortable with progressing than going back out for another round, because the change that we've made hasn't affected any of the actions. It's at the more change I supported, but it's at the more minimalist end of the scale than the power purchasing offsets. I'll just seek advice from governance whether they think the change that we have made is one that should be consulted, or whether you think whether you'd be comfortable under the standards for these approaches with proceeding as amended.
Through Ms. Metz, sorry, but what I'd intended through my last comment was that we do proceed without bringing it back to elected members, but we can circulate with part of the communication plan what is intended to be circulated.
Director Perry, what I'm asking is the change that's been made is that minimalist one, which is the planting offset. So just the language, it's only literally two words, I think. So do you think, would your recommendation be we take that back out for public consultation, or you would be comfortable with us proceeding without this amendment?
Through Mr. Mayor, I was assuming that we would be amending the plan and then going out to consultation, removing that element from it.
Understood, and I've stuffed that up. Further comments? Councillor Hutton, Deputy Mayor.
So I do wish to be clear on what it is we're voting on regarding this amendment. So could I ask for some clarity, please, about the if this amendment is supported, and if it's not supported, what would be the situation with regard to any further community consultation? Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's the recommendation was community consultation, so it's subject to part one above, which is fine.
So that's no
my mistake. My apology, Council.
So just to clarify, there's no material change from this amendment.
Yep. Thank you. Put that amendment and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. Thank you. Now we revert to the primary motion. Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Yes, I just thought I'd flag that I will not be supporting the climate change plan going out to public consultation. Having not been able to get, in my understanding at least, a certain clarity about what's involved in the power purchase agreements and with the Walga Memorandum of Understanding that's been signed, I just find it difficult to then consult the public on something which I personally still have trouble understanding. So for me, I'd still need to see the Beyond 2025 strategic paper, which I believe the City of Juneau provided a response to, the contract for the purchase power agreement itself, and then also the Memorandum for Understanding. And it just seems to be, when I've requested those documents that under Section 5.92, access has not been given for varying reasons, so I won't be supporting the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Hutton, do you mind switching the microphone off? Thank you, sir. Councillor Hamilton-Prime.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to acknowledge the City Office's huge amount of effort they've put into this report, and I really do appreciate it. I know it's sometimes, for some, being quite contentious, but I think it is, what you said, Mr. Mayor, a bold plan, and I think the sentiments that Councillor Chester made about the previous Mayor, Mayor Troy Pickard, were very, very true, and this equally speaks to a bold climate change plan I think our city and our community can be very proud of.
Thank you. Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pleased with the outcomes following the amendments of the motion at large. Just wanted to comment, I think community consultation is always important. It speaks to accountability and transparency. I think it's important that the community be given a say on issues such as this, and we may not understand elements of carbon credits and how the intricate accounting works. I'm sure people in the community will. We're not all accountants, or we're not all marine scientists, etc. So I fully support going out to consultation and look forward to the feedback from the community. Thank you.
Thank you. And
sorry, can I make a comment or not at all on this one?
I was going to go Deputy Mayor next, Councillor Pitty, and then I'll return to yourself. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thanks, through Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm supportive of the this notice as amended. I just, from a housekeeping's perspective, I'd just like to understand whether the change to the recommendation in this instance does require any reason for departure. Just I'd rather bring it up now than bring it up after the motions that are voted on. Thank you.
Director?
Yep.
Councillor Pizzi.
Yeah, sorry. I'd just like to say that I'll be voting for this to go out to community consultation. I think we've all made it very aware where we stand on it and where we'd like it improved. But the city has put a lot of effort into the climate change plan, and I think it's important to get the residents' views on where they think we should go with it. So thank you.
Thank you. No further... Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Myself as well, I'd just like to echo Councillor Kingston's remarks. There's still a little bit of that we're lacking clarity in relation to the power purchasing agreement, so I won't be supporting this.
Thank you. Councillor Chester, do you wish to close?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Thank you. I'll put this motion and ask you to cast your votes. Thank you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. Councillor Hutton, are you happy to give us a reason for the amendment?
Yes, yeah, so to prioritise local tree planting over third-party carbon offsets towards meeting net emission targets.
Thank you, Councillor Hutton. Emission targets. Happy with that wording?
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. We proceed to item 12.8, noting Councillor May's alternate, which he flagged at the briefing session. Because this involves a revocation, before I seek Councillor May to move the alternate, I do need, by a show of hands, those who are happy So by one third, support members who are happy to consider the alternate. One, two, three, four, five, six. Councillor May, do you wish to move? Before I do, just Councillor Chester, Councillor Vinciullo, Councillor Hamilton Prime, Councillor Pizzi, Councillor May, Deputy Mayor, and myself. Councillor May. And Councillor Hutton. Yes, thank you. Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move the alternate that I circulated 2 weeks ago.
Thank you. So moved. I have a seconder for that alternate, Councillor Hamilton Prime. Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It was, I believe from memory, it was August 2023 when a former elected member moved a notice of motion to call for a report into a full organisation review by an independent body into the City of Joondalup. City of Joondalup's administration and operations, internal structures, as he's worded there. Since then, we've had a bit of back and forth around how we appoint an external consultancy, and the result of that is a very significant cost in merely appointing a consultant before we even appoint another consultant to actually do work. My understanding is the city already engages in regular internal reviews of its efficiencies and structures in order to remain one of, if not the most efficient local government in the sector. I also note that there was a previous councillor who used to mention that we should compare ourselves to not other local governments, but other organisations. My view is that we should compare ourselves to organisations that are similar to ourselves, because businesses operate for a different purpose and for various different reasons. So I was never really sure what I would achieve, and given the significant cost that it would involve, I personally view it as quite a large frivolous use of ratepayers' money. So I encourage elected members to proceed with a revocation motion to allow the alternate to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor May. Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Reserve my right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Further comments, councillors? Councillor Pizzi.
I think it's important that I understand that the City of Joondalup review its processes all the time, but I do think, even though it is costly, it's important that processes are reviewed externally. They can always be improved, and it gives peace of mind to the community that our processes are in fact the best. So that's why I won't be supporting this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Kingston?
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought there were others before me. But yes, actually, I've got similar concerns as Councillor Pizzi. I personally believe that an external review does hold merit and is of value. I think if we look at the operational expenditure of the city, it's $174 million. So let's say if there's an organizational review and it achieves a 1% efficiency or 1% improvement on how we conduct ourselves, that's a benefit of over $1.74 million. So, and as well, if we think about, even if that efficiency of 1% is obtained over 5 years, it takes a while to be obtained, even if this costs $100,000 or $200,000 to obtain an independent report, if we actually start to spread it over 5 years and what the cumulative effects will be of any efficiency that can be gained, I think that there is merit in this. And I also think that obtaining an external consultant to create a have an external consultant review the operations is important, and I think having assistance in obtaining what is the best way of that consultancy doing their work and drawing up those quotes and EOIs is, I think that's important. So I think external also allows us to make sure there's no apprehensions of bias or any concerns about whether it's being done fairly and partially, and that there's appropriate experience being engaged. So for me, I'm not supportive of Councillor May's alternate.
Thank you. Further comments? Councillor May, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just as a... to clarify, this motion is to revoke the motion that was put to us in August for a call for a report. The costings of around about $100,000 is actually going to be close to $100,000 just to appoint a consultant, to appoint another consultant, and then you're looking at total cost of, I would think it's reasonable to expect around $500,000 to then do another a review. By the time that review is completed, there will probably be other internal changes within your organisation anyway. And that does lead me to a question potentially of the CEO, but I'll leave that to you, Mr. Mehta, delegate. Does each directorate and business unit have as part of their KPIs managing business unit costs?
Mr. CEO?
The short answer is yes, because they reflect the CEO's KPIs, one of which is the budget outcome each year.
Councillor?
Fantastic, thank you. And the other query I have is if the city is to go ahead and expend around $500,000 potentially of ratepayers' money on appointing a consultant to then appoint another consultant, becomes a bit like, somewhere sounds like a parody to me, but would this need to be done every 5 years or every couple of years or every 10 years, given the organisation does change over time, and how often would a review need to then take place by an external body? I mean, that's probably a rhetorical question because we don't know the answer to. So again, I just don't believe it's prudent use of money when we are trying to actually save costs and not be seen by the community as spending money on endless bureaucracy and outsourcing to very expensive consultants. The only real beneficiary of this motion will be the consultancy firms who will be rubbing their hands together. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor May. I'll put that motion.
Mr. Mayor, a question, if you will.
Unfortunately, no, you cannot ask a question once it has closed. Thank you. I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed. The motion is not carried. Seek some advice from governance because we didn't have a foreshadowed motion.
Through Ms. Mayor, yeah, unfortunately we haven't had a foreshadowed motion on that one. It may be that we just need to bring the item back to the next council meeting for a further determination.
Thank you, Director Parry. I'll leave that in your capable hands. Council, next item of business is item 12.9, list of payments made during the month of April 2024. Councillor Chester.
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's not a large amount that I was querying, just a curious one. And I'm looking here at page 409, and $3,146 for...
My apologies, Councillor Chester, I just need to get... So if you're moving, can I just get a seconder? Councillor Hamilton Prime, there's a lot going on, and I've made some corker of an error myself tonight, so not on you. Councillor Chester.
Yes, okay. Thank you for forgiving my... incompetence. I'm prepared to admit it in this case. Getting back to the item. Curious about why we were hiring saunas. $3,146. Who was using them and what for?
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question. I believe the saunas were in place as a part of a June Blood Festival installation, but I'll take the question on notice and provide further feedback.
Further comments? I'll put this motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed and the item carried unanimously. Thank you. And again, my apologies, Councillor Chester. Item 12.14, Councillor Pizzi, outcome of community consultation, urban bike trials project. Do you wish to move?
Yes.
Move. Seconded, yes. Councillor May, Councillor Pizzi.
Sorry about that. Just a quick comment. So initially, the proposed mountain bike trail had a lot of opposition from community members that live within 400 metres of Traynor Park, and I was very keen to see the outcome of this consultation. And I was surprised to see that there was a majority of people wanting the proposed mountain bike trail within 400 metres of the park. So I will be supporting the city's recommendations, but I would like the community to have an opportunity to make comment on what type of mountain bike trail they would like to see in their park and area. And so I asked the city, will there be an avenue for residents, because they're already sending messages to me, as to the specifics that they would like to see in their mountain bike trail.
Director Klassen.
Through you, Mr. May, the city have received similar requests through the MLIs and the funding provision for the projects, and looking at how we might be able to engage with the local community regarding specifics in their local park.
Thank Councillor? You. That was it. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor May?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't wish to comment.
Councillor Kingston?
Thank you. Yes, just briefly. There are some positive aspects of this, but I hope that through this process or this further design, that especially Lysander Park in Heathridge, where it seems to be that those residents which lived nearby have voiced that they have concerns about the particular facility which will be built. I think for that particular site, looking at the public consultation, at least in relation to that location, I think we need to be very sensitive about what's built there and make sure that the session on the site is appropriate. But more broadly, one of the concerns I've had with this project as it's gone through is the changing from what I considered at least the original scope of being interconnected mountain bike trails of mostly mountain bike nodes, so small nodes which children can then ride from one park to another and circulate between them. For me, looking at the parks which are on the list here, to what degree is there going to be much circulation and providing a hub-and-spoke model where children go from one hub and then branch out and explore the suburbs around them? I just have a concern that this project, as it stands, doesn't quite deliver on what was maybe the original concept. So I have some concerns with this. And also, secondly, in relation to Whitford's West Park, the basketball pad which is being considered in the proximity to houses, could I just get some certainty from the administration that if that basketball pad is to be installed, that it will be compliant with the noise regulations?
Director.
Free Mr. May, in terms of the delivery of these facilities, we do noise modelling to ensure compliance and how we can actually then take guidance from acoustic consultants and how to minimise noise to comply with the requirements.
Thank you. Sorry, and just a further question, if that's all right. Going forward with further nodes in this project, are we consider further mountain bike nodes in other parks to join up with this, or at this stage is this first stage, is that it? Or will there be a second rollout of nodes and interconnecting them?
Director.
Through Mr. May, my understanding of the decision of council in previously is that we'll commence with the key hubs and then through the annual budget process. Now, these four parks cover, I think, the first couple of years of that program, but following that, we will look at how then to provide that interconnectivity and smaller facilities to get that trail effect across the suburbs.
Thank you. Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. And just to have just the final certainty, for all these elements here, we are considering noise and just setting in the park and how it's setting, but how is it laid out in the local parks, that we'll be quite conscious of that before we actually go to any further design, so trying to model that and then look where is the best location, rather than picking a location and trying to then model and then fix it.
Director.
Through you, Mr. May, a bit of both. The issues that the topography, the layout of the park, how you locate these facilities, obviously one of the key aspects is where the location in the park and try and maximize that separation distance. That's the easiest to achieve compliance with the noise regulations. That's not always possible because that's most probably not always the ideal location. So we balance that with with how do we manage that. But yes, location is a key factor in the consideration, and that's separation distance.
Councillor?
Thank you. And just one last question. It's about material of these mountain bike nodes and pump tracks. Are we giving any consideration to using clay rather than asphalt? Because there's been some concerns about the look of putting black asphalt out. Have we considered alternate materials that might have other benefits to make these more exciting or interesting to the children?
Director.
Three, Mr. Mayor. I will have to take that question on notice. Sorry, Councillor Kingston. I know the options has been looked at, but I'm not sure exactly what that entails.
Thank you. Councillor Ventura.
With the acoustic modelling, sorry, three, with the acoustic modelling pertaining to Whitford's West Park, has it actually gone for a process directly referring to Whitford West Park, and do we have those modelling numbers?
Director.
Three, Mr. Mayor, we have not commenced that. We will do that as part of the detailed design process and actually go through the acoustic modelling based on the separation distances that can be achieved. We feel that it is achievable, but those are the things that will form part of the detailed design process.
Councillor?
Is it fair to say that based on that modelling, we will be able to review the basketball component if it comes up a bit short?
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, based on the modelling, we will review all the recreational facilities to be provided if they come up short, using your words, Councillor Michelle.
Further comments? Councillor Pizzi, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed and that item is carried. Item 12.15, petition in relation to maintenance, repair and upgrade of Elkhart Dog Park. Councillor Hutton.
Sorry, just 2 seconds.
I'll just seek a mover in the first instance.
I'll move the motion. Address.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Hill. Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, so since opening in 2019, the Elkhart Dog Park in Joondalup has proven to be extremely popular with locals, so much so that signs of wear and tear are starting to show. It is clear to me from visits to this popular facility that a long-term solution is required. After having this raised by many locals, my opinion is that increasing the size of the facility will help to mitigate the wear and tear. That is why I am fully in support of the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Hill.
Reserve my right, thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Yes, look, I will not be supporting the recommendation in the petition. And it's not because necessarily an extension of the dog park is not the correct thing to do, but I think it's better if this is dealt with holistically with the dog plan. And the animal, and the other considerations we're giving to animals in public open spaces. At this time, I think extending it and then incurring an extra $20,000 per annum in the annual budget, is this really the best way of managing the problems in the dog fenced area, exercise area? Do we need to consider other options such as changing the surfaces and providing other amenities or other dog facilities in other parks, and looking at this idea more holistically of how do we provide exercise areas for dogs in the city of Joondalup, whether that is best catered by fenced dog parks or providing more dog equipment in other areas. I think if we even look back to the public comments which came from the consultation on the last item we just discussed, for Lysander Park and a number of other parks where there is where dog owners do meet and congregate, there was actually, even in that public consultation, discussions about providing fountains for dogs or dog equipment in areas where areas which the public use. So I'm just not sure that this is the right time to be saying, let's extend the fenced area, but not also address the other issues that have arisen. And considering that there is going to be a formal review that will look at this holistically in relation to animal management and dog exercise areas in the city, I just feel this is a little bit premature. So I don't think we should rule it out, but at the same time, I think, jumping in at the moment and making this decision. I'm not sure. I also think we need to find a decision that's conclusive. Looking at all the pictures from other comparable local governments, it doesn't seem to matter how large we make the area, as Councillor Hussman suggested, that improves the wear on the turf, so decreases the amount of turf over the time. It doesn't seem to be over the long term be a solution. For me, I'm looking for a solution that's conclusive. And to me, the end point, if we extend the dog area, we'll end up with a dog park that is still going to degrade, turn into sand, and then we'll have problematic facilities for the community. So for me, I'm not supporting this. I think we need to deal with it holistically, look properly at what is the best way of dealing with it. So I encourage people not to support this, but look at it holistically later.
Thank you for the comments. Deputy Mayor?
Yes, thanks to you, Mr. Mayor. So I was also looking forward to seeing the wider report on animal exercise areas throughout the city of Toondah, but I sense that that's still quite a long way away. So I know that the city administration has considered the conditions at Elkhart Park and has come up with a recommendation as presented before us. And given the timing, I do think it's worthwhile pursuing this solution for this specific location whilst we await the wider report. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will not be supporting this motion. I'm a user of the park and I've been very disappointed with the park. Terrible drainage, and I don't really want to throw any more good money at it.
Thank you. Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the obvious solution to take the enormous impact in the small reserve is to have more dog parks. Unfortunately, as the Director of Infrastructure knows, clearly we tried that in the South East Ward, and I must say locals that take their own dogs with a handful of owners and dogs in a park, they're unreasonably protective in my opinion. We did try and establish another dog park in Canangra and Lagana, and the pushback was so strong that it just didn't get up. I would like to see more dog parks, and then we wouldn't be having the significant wear and tear. And the only one that we've got, I mean, when you think the number of residents, the number of dog owners in our city, with one small park, it really is inadequate. And we need to do something about it. However, in the meantime, I will be supporting the extension of the only dog park that we have to mitigate the issues that we have.
Thank you for the comments. Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a bit of a problem with this for a few reasons. The first one is obviously the costing of it. I just don't see any value in it. The second one, I'll obviously make reference to the City of Nedlands, Carrington Street Dog Park. They battle with a similar issue constantly, and it's a constant money pit for them, and the facilities are always a drain. I'd like to know how many city dogs or registered city dogs use Elkhart Park, if I could. Is there any clarity, or does anyone know that? Has anyone looked at how many of our City of Joondalup dogs that are registered use the park?
I don't think we check whether they're Joondalup registered or coming in from out of the district that I'm aware of. Director Klassen?
That's correct. Mr. Mayor, we don't know.
Councillor?
Obviously, it leads a question to me that, you know, we're throwing money after money for something like this. We have a great city that has a lot of dog, you know, areas that they can run, and it's generally an off-leash area within the city of Joondalup. I attended the community reference group, which was in relation to the dog management plan, and there were some really eye-opening moments in there, especially from some of the behavioural specialists that were speaking, and so it led me to believe that something like this is probably not in the best interest of the city, so I won't be supporting this.
Thank you for the comments. Just some comments from myself. Sorry, Councillor Mayor, so you were saying...
Sorry, I've given myself the call.
I'll just speak to it very quickly and I'll come back to yourself. My apologies. So thank councillors for their comments.
I can remember right back in 2006 having discussion about dog areas in the city, and the city had a proposal on Hillary's Beach, and it was the first time I saw this gallery packed out. As Councillor Chester said, finding locations to meet the very large number of dog owners in this city is such a challenge. I welcome any ward councillors putting forward suggested parks. I agree we need another one. I've always supported a budget allocation for that. I acknowledge the South East Ward councillors for being bold enough to suggest two of their parks. And as Councillor Chester said, this is a facility that most dog owners want. They just generally don't want it in the park that's right near their house. There's a few things you find in local government. So where we stand, I very strongly support this proposal as moved by Councillor Hutton and seconded by the Deputy Mayor. We do have a very popular dog park. We're always talking about activation in our CBD. I see this as a small item of activation because it gives Joondalup residents a reason to drive to the Joondalup CBD into Winton Road on a weekend. The rest of that park is essentially not used. I go down there regularly with my son to practice soccer. The part where we practice soccer on won't be impacted by this proposal. We're talking about moving the fence to the middle tier. So we will reduce the impact. We'll be able to cater for the popularity. The fitness classes and casual users like myself who use the bottom part will not be affected. So there's no impact on park users. There's only upside. And the other thing I would say, and I take the point about it being a money pit, and yes, it is a cost, but please remember we're a local government and everything we do just costs. Everything we do is a money pit by definition. The only exception to that is our parking business here in the CBD, our multi-storey parking, and Craigie Leisure Centre. Other than that, we're a local government. We provide facilities. Every facility we provide is a money pit. $20,000 a year extra in the annual maintenance budget, given the tens of thousands of dog owners that we have, I think is a small price to pay to increase their amenity. So I'm very strongly in support of this motion. Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really was on the fence with this because I'm generally not a big fan of designated dog parks, but I've only actually used Dog Park once, and that was with a group of friends' dog. I was happy to be led by the ward councillors on this one. It's actually $80,000 to extend a dog park that's going to provide tangible benefits to the community, I think, is a small sum to pay, given what we've considered previously. When we were considering an organisation review, I think it's the funding is not a big issue. It's less than what a place-based renewal would cost. On that, however, I do want to caveat that with I don't believe we need other dog parks. The majority of residents in the city of Joondalup live in low-density detached housing with many, many local parks in their suburb. Most of those parks are off-leash permitted. But in this Joondalup CBD, we do have more medium to high density living, and a lot of apartments these days do allow people to have dogs. So I believe it's important to have a designated facility there, and it also does attract people to the CBD as well, which is always a good thing. In terms of some of the issues that have been raised by residents and by the lead petitioner and from the gallery, I believe they are valid and they should be taken into account during the design process. But some of the other issues are also around reviewing a dog park or not. Dog owners are required to have effective control over their dogs and supervise their dogs. So if their dogs go to the toilet, they should be aware of that and pick it up. That's not on the city, that's on the dog owner. We provide bags, we provide bins, but at some point responsibility has to be on the dog owner to actually use those facilities accordingly. It's the same as when you have dogs doing things like digging holes and doing things that are unacceptable. We can put safeguards in place, but at some point responsibility needs to shift onto the dog owner. Much like a parent with a child, they're responsible for supervising their child and making sure they're not doing unacceptable or dangerous things. So I will just make that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor May. Councillor Kingston, have you spoken to this one?
Yes, but it's a question.
Question, yes?
Yes, thank you. Just to the Director for Infrastructure. And it's about the increase in maintenance and going forward with this project, if it's then approved by the council, can the city look into alternate surfaces to install in the dog park? Otherwise, it seems to be the end point of this will be still at most
sandpit. Not allowing you to debate it.
Councillor.
I'm just saying.
Councillor. Director Glasser.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the current project is part of the Capital Works Program. It's for the extension of the park. We always look at alternative solutions, so it's not a case of will it be part of this project. That is something that we consider. You will notice that in that dog park, there's already large areas that is either sand or mulch areas, and those are the type of things that we will keep on considering. There is, however, an expectation from the current users of the facility that there will be turf, and that's what we're trying to achieve through this.
Thank you. Councillor Ventrilo.
Thank you. Through you, I'm very supportive of this, but I think there's also an opportunity presented. If we go down this road and we activate this space, and let's be real, by making these amendments, we're definitely activating it on a newer level. My recommendation is that the city actively promotes and looks at initiatives to get the community more involved in the space. So I like it. I think it's the right thing to do, but my hope is that we actively promote the space.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to concur what Councillor Ventura said, I think, you know, having a dog version of Uptown, I think, would be fantastic to really lean into that. You know, be part of, you know, shop at local businesses, be part of CBD, as I like to say now. I think that's really important to really reinforce coming and supporting locals. I think there's some clever ways, and I really support this going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hutton, do we should close?
Yeah, I would. I would say Dog Town does have a better ring to it than Cat Town. So,
no introducing new material in closing statements.
Yeah, I will just respond to some of Christopher, so Councillor May's comments. I do think it's about time the dogs have a really good facility, given cats have free roam across the whole city. There are obviously many issues with any dog park, but this suggestion here is all about taking the one dog park we do have and making that a little bit better. I do reiterate the point that I've made constantly, that is the downfall of Elkhart Dog Park is actually its popularity and its overuse. There is obviously lots of very good comments being made as well around the need for users of the park to also be monitoring their dogs and helping make sure it's a good facility to use. I am aware there have been other suggestions from members of the community about, you know, ways that the facility can continue to be improved. Obviously, as the director has already mentioned, maintaining a dog park like this is a constant discussion, and well, there's constantly going to be opportunities to factor them in. But for now, I guess the trial is, if we increase the size of the large dog area, will it have an impact on the surface? And if we do see it having a positive impact, which I hope it does, hopefully we can then make further considerations for the small part of the dog park. But we can also factor in the lessons to the citywide animal exercise plan, which I hope we do see sometime soon. So, yeah, I encourage you all to support this. It's about, I guess, improving the one facility we do have for the time being, and yeah, getting on with it. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll put that motion and ask you all to cast your votes. Declare voting closed and the item is carried. Council, before we proceed to the reports of the CEO, I'll seek a mover for an exception resolution that pursuant to clause 4.83 of the meeting procedures local law, adoption by exception resolution, that Council adopts the following items, being item 12.1, 12.2, 12.4, 12.10, 12.11, 12.1... Sorry, I'm going too fast for you there. 12.4, 12.10, 12.11, and 12.13. Correct. So I've moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor May. I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes.
declare the voting closed and those are carried. Thank you. Council, we go now to item 14.1, the draft budget for 24-25. I plan to move. Do I have a seconder? Seconded in the Deputy Mayor. Thank you. I'll just pull up my notes on this one. That's the wrong one, sorry. Which I don't seem to be able to find right now. Hold on, bear with me. Actually, I have notes on this one. There we go. What's proposed here, and I'll start first of all in terms of a rate increase, because that is often the main focus of any budget. City of Joondalup here is putting forward a rate in the dollar increase of 2.9%. Should be noted that this is well below the current levels of CPI, and it's something that recognises the challenges that residents are facing in our city with inflation and other cost of living pressures. I note that such an increase will be one of the lowest in Western Australia, with metropolitan councils, some of whom are recommending rate increases of up to 8%, and some large regional councils up to 11%. Joondalup sits at 2.9%, one of the lowest in the state, and given we already have one of, if not the lowest rates in the dollar anywhere in WA, it will maintain us as one of the lowest rating councils, not only in this state, but I suspect in the nation. The current economic environment of high inflation and higher interest rates, which is predicted to continue, has influenced the framing of this budget. Other challenges the city has faced in preparing its budget include inflation pressures to our core services, cost shifting from other tiers of government, and also community expectations of our city's capacity to continue to provide and indeed improve the services and the sporting and community infrastructure that we provide. That increasing expectation from our community is something that always challenges me, but it's something that I very much appreciate from our community, and it's one of the things that makes being part of the City of Joondalup Council for close to 20 years now a fantastic thing to be a part of over that long arc, that increasing expectation and the ability that we've managed to continue to meet it while continuing to run ourselves down that cost chain when compared to our colleagues. This budget provides the resources required to enable the city to provide the services, the facilities and the works that our community have identified and that we've identified in our strategic plan. Budget highlights include the Duncraig Adventure Hub at $8.13 million, the Joondalup Drive, Lakeside Drive intersection upgrade at $2.68 million, importantly, in the southeast ward, the Melander Boulevard pedestrian footbridge renewal, some $2.3 million, something I'm regularly asked about from local residents. Hillary's cycle network expansion, Percy Doyle community sporting facility upgrade project, Hepburn Avenue upgrade, and the Joondalup City Centre place activation funding. Joondalup Drive, Hodges Drive intersection upgrades of $1 million. As we've just discussed, the Whitfords West pump and jump amenity improvement at $865,000. Sorrento Surf Life Saving Club redevelopment. Also the Burns Beach Cafe and restaurant kiosk construction at $665,000 and the Marmion Avenue Forest Road intersection upgrade. Importantly, and I think it should be noted, this is also the budget which, if passed, means that this city carries zero debt. We are now at the point of having fully paid off our borrowings, our most recent borrowings being for the multi-storey car park. So we will be, after this, not only in a position of having one of the lowest levels of rates in WA and probably in Australia, a rate increase well below CPI, but also healthy reserves to manage our infrastructure into the future, and most importantly, a council that is free not only in terms of net debt, but free in terms of gross debt. All of the City of Joondalup will have no debt. Council, this is a good, responsible budget. It's something that's come to pass after many hard hours of work from all of you. We did a ward session each, a tweak to the budget process that I think has worked very well.
We've done multiple budget sessions, and also we saw this year the return of the ratepayer budget breakfast, one of the best attended, if not the best attended, that I've been a part of. Council, I'll leave it there and I'll go to my colleagues. I won't talk for too long, but this is a budget that I think we can all be very, very proud of on any measure, and I'm very proud to commend it to the Council. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. I reserve my right.
Thank you. Further comments? Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'd like to concur your commentary. I'm very proud of this budget. I'd also like to acknowledge the hard work the City Administration team have put into this year's budget, and thank them for everything they've done to make this budget a fantastic thing it is, and commend all the councillors for equally their hard work in their contribution for this budget.
Thank you. Further comments? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. I'll just speak to the item. Yes, I have an amendment which I'll foreshadow, but just speaking to the budget broadly, for me, I think there has been a lot of positive things the city does do through the year. I think the city's team puts in a lot of effort to put together the budgets and the strategic planning documents. But for me, as has been an ongoing discussion with other council members, how the budget processes contribute to how this document is created is always a point of concern. I just think there's areas of improvement. There's many positive parts of the budget process. There's other areas which I think need to be improved. And I think that starts with, at the beginning of the process, trying, I think this is in an ideal sense, because I can't comment on specifically how our budget process works, but I think in an ideal sense, we should always be looking at what type of rate increase and targeting that from the very beginning, and then pricing services and setting expectations around that. How this particular process works is always, there's concerns which I've had over the years, but there's, I think elected members are quite well aware of the commentary which I've made on this previous years. On as far as point 22 of the recommended motion here about the variances being of 50,000 or 5%, whichever is the higher, I think going forward in further years, I'd like to see maybe if we could tier that to different thresholds. And, so I'll just stop there, but I'll just also note that I do foreshadow that I think some elements in this budget, foreshadow, as I said, also the what has been circulated previously around Merrifield Place. I do think the parking there should return to it being parallel as what was, as has been suggested previously when I represented, but I'll leave the comments there.
Thank you, Councillor. Further comments on the budget? If not, Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thanks to you, Mr. Mayor. So, I express my appreciation to the administration on the work they do on this. I do have a question, just for clarification, on the state government's emergency services levy. Just can we get some clarification on the percentage increase on that since the previous year? Thank you.
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I believe it's 4.5%, but I will take the question on notice and provide information to elected members.
Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. And just in closing, say that all elected members have participated, or at least had the opportunity to participate in all the budget workshops as well as the ward sessions. So I think it's been beneficial to everybody to have their opportunity to have their say in development of this budget, and I commend it from my fellow elected members. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor, Councillor Hutton.
Just as a first-time councillor, it's been, I guess, an eye-opening process to see how the budget is brought together. It has been good to see effort put in by elected members to keep rate rises as low as possible, and I do know the great work in making sure rate rises is actually below CPI, therefore there's a net decrease in rates adjusted for inflation. It's also positive to hear about the debt-free city with the strong cash reserve position. I would just make the general comment to elected members, after having been through this process for the same time, that it's imperative that we as a council continue to make the hard decisions throughout the year, because clearly those month-to-month decisions that we make as a council have a long-term impact on the net position of the budget. I do know in the budget it making reference to, decisions having to be made in future years to make the budget more sustainable in the future. So for me, I read that as either rates need to go up significantly or by more than we put them up this year, or there has to be, I guess, a sharpening of the pencil. I would like to see those discussions around where potential, I guess, prioritisations can take place and where cost savings can take place. But overall, I do think it's a good outcome, but it's important that we, I guess, take the mindset we've had to budgeting throughout the whole year. And I look forward to working with my fellow elected members to hopefully continue to refine and improve the way that this process takes place.
Thank you. If no further comments, I'll just close to say thank you very much to the council. Thank you to the councillors for all of their work. It's a budget that we can actually be very proud of. It's been a lot of work, but you know, there's 139 councils in WA, and I don't always like to play the comparison game, but compare our position to any one of them, and we can hold our heads high with this budget and the financial position of the city. I should also have said at the outset, Director Humphrey, you and your team, the work that all the directors have done in supporting you, thank you for your team. Thank you for the excellent job that you've been doing on behalf of the ratepayers of this city, of whom you are also one. Very happy to commend the budget, and I will put the motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed, and the motion is carried. We'll go to item 14.2, the recommendation for levying differential rates for the year. I will put this motion, propose the motion. Do I have a second in the Deputy Mayor? I do. Thank you. I won't speak to this again. That cent in the dollar figure for residential improved is a very, very low figure, not only in my time generally in local government, but also compared to others. Many times I've seen those with an 8 in front of them, and I'm sure others have them even higher. I also noted at public consultation the 18 or so comments that we received, 16 or so resident comments, representing approximately 1 in 10,000 residents who wrote in, and even then a very, very surprising level of support from those residents who took the time to write comments. So happy to commend this. Deputy Mayor.
Reserve my right, thank you.
Thank you for the comments. Councillor Kingston. Oh, sorry, I thought you were reaching. If no further comments, I'm happy to put the motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed, and that motion is carried. Council, we now go to notice of motion number one, life vac installation at City of Joondalup venues. Councillor Pizzey. Actually, sorry, I should have made clear, for the benefit of governance, urgent business, of which there is none. Motions of which previous notice has been given. 16.1, Councillor Pizzey.
Thank you.
Just move at this stage.
Oh, yeah, move the motion, please.
Thank you. I have a second. I seconded Councillor Hamilton Prime. Councillor Pizzey.
In 2020 and 2021, choking in Australia resulted in 1,200 deaths. That works out to be 2.6 deaths per 100,000 people. This year, one of our own City of Joondalup residents became a part of this statistic, a little boy named Zaza, and we heard from his dad, Brian, tonight. I am grateful for Brian giving the council and I an opportunity to get a report and potentially install life vac devices into City of Joondalup facilities that could possibly help prevent another family losing a loved one. Zaza passed away at Iluka foreshore. This particularly hits home to me of the importance of getting a life vac installed at Iluka foreshore, as there is a City of Joondalup defibrillator there, but not a life vac. This may have saved Zaza. Life vac is a class 1 medical device, meaning it is considered to be a low risk device. The life vac has also had a 2 years post-market review, which included clinical market and risk management reviews. LifeVac has had 2 peer-reviewed journal articles written in Resuscitation Plus Journal and in the Journal of Paediatric Trauma. This 10-year review article found LifeVac to be effective and safe and recommended that LifeVac should become a normal part of basic life support training. LifeVac does not replace current guidelines of how to help someone on how to clear an occluded airway. It simply adds to the tools that you can use once all other measures have been exhausted. I would ask for all councillors to please support this notice of motion to receive a report on installing LifeVac devices on the City of Joondalup. Let's be bold and ambitious leaders here in the City of Joondalup for LifeVac installation.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to concur the commentary that Councillor Pizzey did. I think this is an important initiative that has the potential to save many, many lives in our community, and that is very powerful. I look forward to, well, I encourage councillors to support this because, as Councillor Pizzey said, you know, it saves lives. And I think, you know, it has a fitting place next to the DFib machine because in any given situation, this might be the only tool that could potentially save a person's life. So encourage councillors to support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to thank Councillor Pizzey for bringing this matter before us. It's clearly a very important issue. Can I ask a number of questions, please, to the administration? Question one, does this equipment have an expiry date, and if so, how long does it last? Thank you.
Director Klassen, I think we're not yet in a position to answer that question. My observation from reading them, to some extent they might, but they're manual, they're not battery packs, as you find with the defibrillator, so it will probably be less. It would just be material deterioration. Deputy Mayor.
Okay, so rather than ask questions, I just make some comments that may be considered in the report when it comes back before us, if this motion is approved. So I'm interested in knowing if the equipment has an expiry date. Appreciate if that can be covered. I'm also interested in knowing how many different manufacturers are of this equipment, or whether there's a single manufacturer, and whether it's local to WA or Australia. And I'd also request that in the report, I'll be interested in knowing if there are other local governments using this equipment in their facilities, and if so, any lessons learned from their deployment of that equipment. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. I'm willing to support the report, but my thoughts go to when the report comes back. I think it's important that there's a systematic review done of the international bodies which oversee the guidelines for resuscitation. And what I mean by that is looking at the evidence that has been obtained by the International Liaison for the Committee on Resuscitation, which provides the guidelines, the European Resuscitation Council and the Resuscitation Council for the UK, and seeing if those bodies recommend this as the standard method of care for a person who is choking or requires resuscitation of some sort. I'm just concerned that I did go on the company's website to review what has been what they have put up and their opinions, but I think it's important that we look to the international bodies to see what is the recommended care that should be given to a person that is in that does require resuscitation or is choking, and whether this is the best evidence-based approach. But I think that's something that should be covered in the report. But to me, when the report comes back, I will be principally guided by whether those international bodies recommend this as the best method of care for resuscitation or avoiding choking in adults and children. So that's my view. So I'm very happy to support this. But going forward, what is the best way is not something I feel just on a private judgment I can make. If we don't look at what do those international bodies recommend.
Thank you. Further comments? Councillor Hutton.
Firstly, I commend Councillor Pizzey for bringing forward this notice of motion. It was deeply moving this evening to hear directly from a parent who was affected by this. Although I'm very supportive, I think it's important that the city, as part of this report, also investigates how there can be alignment with access to this facility across the entire state. I do reflect on, for example, the rolling out of emergency service location points along the beach for rapid response of emergency vehicles. I know we do have defibrillators and the like, but it's very important where these devices exist that there is widespread knowledge about where they are, how to access them, and vice versa. And I think we can lead by example in the city of Joondalup by implementing these, but from a state government advocacy perspective, wouldn't it be amazing if right up the entire coast we had access to these facilities and people knew what they were, how they worked, so that we don't end up with a situation where someone could have been saved by using this device, but they didn't actually realise it was there and it was effective. So I suppose that's a bit of a comms piece. In terms of the report as well, it would be good if we, I guess, as part of it, seek some advice from Joondalup Health Campus on the equipment and how, you know, they see it working, given everything, we have a close relationship. But yeah, that rounds up my comments. But yeah, thank you, Councillor Fizzy, for the work you've done on this. So very supportive.
Thank you, Councillor Ventura.
Yeah, I just want to continue to echo the sentiment to Councillor Fizzy. I think it's a great initiative, and I'm supportive. The big thing for me is just to continue on in the vein of where Councillor Hutton's going, is I think there needs to be some information pertaining to the campaign messaging or the public campaign messaging that aligns to a rollout or something like this, so we can actually see what that looks like, because we're adding a really valuable tool to the community. But from that, what does the messaging look like to articulate the best outcomes moving forward?
Thank you for the comments. Just some comments from myself. First of all, I thank Mr. Brian Amondi very much for taking the time to attend the council meeting. That was one of the most impactful and profound, well, I'd say the most, that I can recall in my time here. I think we're all a bit at sea after that. I think all of us as elected members were, and none of us can imagine what that experience would be like, or certainly wouldn't want to imagine what the experience of what he went through would be like. And I thank him for sharing so openly and honestly. I also want to thank him and just acknowledge and recognise that, having been through that experience, I just think it's so amazing that he is looking in a way to turn it, for a way to turn it into a positive, a way to just do whatever he can to help, if possible, as many people as possible ever avoid being in the same situation. I think it's a privilege that he's brought that here to us at the City of Joondalup, and I couldn't be more supportive of this. Thank you, Councillor Pizzi, as his ward councillor and someone that works in the health industry, for bringing this proposal forward. It's honestly, it's a privilege for us as a council to engage on this. In the same way that the defibrillator program itself came as a notice of motion from former Councillor Chester, and rolled out very quickly right across the city. I agree very strongly with the points about location. The park where Mr. Ormondi lost his son is one of the parks that has a defibrillator. So what's being proposed here, we had a defibrillator right there because it's a popular place in the city of Joondalup. So I'm not preempting the outcome, and I agree due diligence needs to be done around this, but honestly, I count it as a privilege as a city to play our part in looking at this and hopefully helping him and take this issue further. And if it just saves one child, gee, it's well worth it. And yeah, it's a privilege. Thank you, Councillor Pizzi. Any further comments? Councillor Pizzi, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, please. Yeah, I am grateful for the trust that Brian Zaza's dad has given to us to potentially input this life-saving device into the city of Joondalup. Just to answer a few of the questions, I'm looking forward to the report. Councillors have made some very good points. There are issues with different manufacturers selling product that is not quite up to the standard of LifeVac, so that is something that the company is at the moment trying to stop happen, and they've had meetings with the TGA around that today. It is an Australian company that sell it here in Australia, run by Medic. Other local governments that are looking at inputting LifeVac at the minute is Orange in New South Wales, and a Queensland government body, the name eludes me right now, to do with Indigenous communities, is inputting this in Queensland. That has been put through this week. Just one more point that Brian is... I agree with Councillor Hutton's sentiment that I think how amazing it would be if this goes ahead, that City of Joondalup would be the regional, the local council that implements this first and can pave the way for the state and possibly the rest of Australia to take on this product that can save lives. And I know that Brian is in discussion with the state government to hopefully get a more national take-up of this product for the whole of Australia. So that is in the process, but how amazing for us to be bold and ambitious and do it first here in the City of Joondalup. So I would ask you all to consider this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that motion and ask you to cast your votes. Declare the voting closed, and that motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Council, as flagged at the beginning of the meeting, we've now come to the point where we'll close the meeting to members of the public. Ms. Kwok, thank you for your endurance. So I'm proposing a procedural motion that Council, in accordance with Section 5.23(2)(b) and EII of the Local Government Act and Clause 5.22 of the City's Meeting Procedures Local Law, resolves to close the meeting to members of the public to consider the following items, being Item 8, Confirmation of Minutes, and Item 12.12, Tender for Plumbing Maintenance Services, and 2, permits the following employees to remain in the chamber during discussion on these items, being the CEO, Director of Corporate Services, the Director of Governance and Strategy, the Acting Director of Planning and Community Development, Director of Infrastructure Services, the Manager of Governance, Acting Governance Coordinator, and R2 Governance Officers. So moved. I have a seconder. Seconded Deputy Mayor. By a show of hands, those in favour. Against. Declare that carried unanimously. Thank you. Council, I'll then therefore take us back, first of all, to Item 8, the confirmation of minutes. I'm proposing 4 be confirmed as a true and correct record, subject to the following amendments, being 1, in relation to Item 12.9, and in particular Motions 5, 12, 16, 22, 23, 25, 26, 28, 32, 37, 39, remove references to a seconder for each motion, and amend the mover to read Mayor Jacob as follows. Moved Mayor Jacob, that council. In relation to Item 12.9, and in particular the alternate part 11.3, as foreshadowed by Councillor Pizzi, remove the reference to a seconder for the motion, and amend the mover to read Councillor Pizzi as follows. Moved Councillor Pizzi, that council. Item 3, in relation to Item 12.9, and in particular the alternate motion 13, as foreshadowed by Councillor Chester, remove the reference to a seconder for the motion and amend the mover to read Councillor Chester as follows. Moved Councillor Chester, that council. In relation to Item 12.10 and in particular the alternate part 2 as foreshadowed by Mayor Jacob, remove the reference to a seconder to the motion and amend the mover to read Mayor Jacob as follows. Moved Mayor Jacob, that council. If you can go to the other one for me too, please, team. In relation to 12.2, the council has 12.12, thank you, Mr. CEO. The council has accepted the tender submitted by JKB Plumbing and Gas Proprietary Limited for the provision of plumbing maintenance services and minor plumbing works of value less than $100,000 as specified in tender 01524 for a period of 3 years at the submitted schedule of rates, with any price variation subject to the percentage change in the Perth CPI. All groups. Thank you all. Council, I propose that we resume the operation of Clause 4.3 of the City of Joondalup Meeting Procedures Local Law 2013. Seconded Deputy Mayor. By a show of hands, those in favour. declare that carried unanimously. Thank you. Are there any announcements of notices of motion for the next meeting? Councillor Hutton.
I do flag this may not be required subject to discussions with the administration, but I will flag notice anyway. Notice of motion to delay the removal of the free 15-minute takeaway-only bays from the city centre, as flagged in the recent desk of the CEO, until the parking charge review is complete.
Thank you, Councillor Hutton. Are there any other notices of motion? Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a notice of motion that Council requests the CEO to prepare a report on the city approach to privacy and responsible information sharing. I was due to do this last month, however, due to illness, I couldn't.
Thank you, Councillor O'Neill. If no further notices of motion, that concludes tonight's meeting, and I hereby declare it closed at 9:32 p.m. Good evening all. Thank you. I was way off, Councillor May.